Good evening and welcome to the January 11th, 2011 Morro Bay City Council meeting. We're glad you're all here. Please let the record reflect that all five council members are present, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. And if you'd all please rise and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Mr. Dylan Wade.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'm glad you're all here tonight. We have a lot of business to get to. I have a lot to say, but I'm going to just make a comment and pass it on. I am I'm concerned about what I'm witnessing in the community as far as vitriol. We had a city worker verbally accosted recently by a citizen. And this city worker works for the streets. He doesn't even work for the wastewater treatment plant, and it was over the wastewater treatment plant, and it disturbed him to the point where he reported it to his supervisor, and he was shaken by it. I was in a business the other day, and there's a battle going on between two business people, and a life was threatened. I hear the mood over the wastewater treatment plant. I understand we all have different opinions. You know, we see what's going on in the country. It's terrible. You know, and I just encourage everybody to just kind of, you know, mellow out a little bit and try to, you know, treat each other respectfully. Everybody has their own opinion and different opinion, but we don't need to, we don't need all the vitriol. And I just encourage all of my fellow citizens that we are that. We're fellow citizens, we're neighbors, and we don't need to treat each other disrespectfully to have different opinions. So please, Carla.
Good evening. Thank you. I don't have anything to share. I haven't had any meetings right now, so thank you.
Nancy?
Nothing new to share this evening?
Nothing new.
I have a couple of items. One is that we have our JPA meeting scheduled for this Thursday at 6 o'clock at the community center. We'll be discussing the developments tonight and talking about the future of the project with Cayucas. That meeting has been rescheduled to 3 p.m., so we usually meet at 6 o'clock, but we're going to be at 3 o'clock this Thursday. Our advisory board applications for our different advisory bodies are being accepted now through the 19th. So if you're interested, we have a variety of bodies on different topics, and we value your time, and we appreciate your commitments. If you are interested, you could get more information about which seats are open and available on the city website or by calling City Hall. And we'll be accepting applications till the 19th. So please get those in there. And we did receive correspondence from Morro Bay Beautiful about their art can maintenance, the trash cans that they've decorated, utilizing different artists in the community that are beautiful and doing a great job for our community. They've actually, they do the maintenance on those and care for them, and they've just gone through and done a really nice touch-up. So I think from the council, we wanted to thank them and then also encourage everyone to respect those cans as much as possible and take care of them, try not to abuse them too much, and we'll make sure that they last. We do have an exciting event this Friday that I'd like to invite everyone to. It's a low-impact development event. Basically, the city has partnered with Slow Green Build, Sierra Club, and Surf Rider to kick off another guide that basically has been put out to follow up our gray water guide that the Slow Green Build and the Coalition have developed. So this Friday, the event we're hosting here at 6 o'clock. The doors will kick off and be opened. And we're going to have pizza, beer, and wine from some great local vendors and some excellent speakers, including our very own Rob Lifick. And the focus is how do we as a community better manage our water and the water that's falling into the streets and so on, and do it in a way that is sustainable and exciting. So our keynote speaker is Brock Dolman from the Water Institute at Occidental Arts and Ecology, and he's world-renowned. And so we're just going to have a great time and encourage you all to come out to that. Once again, it's this Friday. Doors actually at 5:30 here at the Vets Hall. And that's it for me.
Thank you, Noah. Mr. Schultz, closed session report.
Good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, council went in closed session to discuss two items. The items discussed were labor negotiations. The city is currently in negotiations with its three unions, and at this time the council gave direction to the designated representative. As to the other item, real property transactions discussed was 610 Embarcadero in Morro Bay and the general lease sites along the City Tidelands Trust. As to all these items, no action was taken that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Thank you. Okay, we're at public comment period. The first person who gets to go tonight is Mr. Gio Giovanni, who has come to introduce his new business. Good evening, Gio. Welcome.
Good evening, Council, and those watching at home. My name is Giovanni DeGaramore. You might know me from Giovanni's Fish Market on the waterfront. We've been a fixture here on the waterfront since 1985 when my family bought the property. As you may or may not know, the old Shell Shop building is also on our property, and it became available recently. And I asked my father for permission to rent the building, and I did. And as many of you know, we've opened a wine shop down there called Stacks. So I'd like to give a big thank you to all the locals who have come down in overwhelming support to stop in and say hi and tell us that the building looks nice and we've done a good job dressing up the waterfront. Those of you that haven't been down, we encourage you to come down and have a glass of wine, try some of our local wineries and a meat and cheese plate, and just come and relax and sit on the couch by the Amish fireplace and warm your hands and have a glass of wine. And I just want to introduce myself and welcome you all to come down and have a look. And that's about all.
Great. Thank you for coming, Gio. Forgive
Thanks
me for
having
I know the DeGaramores forever and ever, but it's just my nature sometimes to butcher a name. Stacks is a great little place. I went in there, George and I, a couple days after they opened, and I opened the door, and the first thing I thought was, wow, you know, this is a cool place. It's a really cool place. Stop in and check it out. It feels good in there.
So Thank you very much.
It's a great positive addition to the waterfront.
Thank you.
Gio, can you tell us your hours, please?
We're currently open 11 to 8, and we're closed on Mondays, but we expect that we'll probably be open Monday soon, and the hours may change a little bit just depending on if the locals can come down during the daytime and eat some food and drink some wine. That would be helpful. So it's very busy. I just left there and saw the clock, and it was a pretty full place, and people were enjoying it. So if we could spread it out throughout the day and the evening, that would be good, and we're going to do our best to do a good job and provide a good service and to be a good neighbor to those around us. I know that we've had a little bit of loud music on a couple nights, and we want to let those people know that we're going to do our best to mitigate that and try to be a good neighbor in the community. So,
great. Thank you, Gio.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Go ahead. Give them a turn. come on forward. Please speak on anything you want. If it is on the wastewater treatment plant EIR or the solar array appeal, we would appreciate it if you would hold those comments until those public comments. If, however, you have to go home, you're welcome to make your comments now if you have to leave. Good evening, Keith.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, staff.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Keith Taylor. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, director of Friends of the Morro Bay Fire Department. I'm here to offer congratulations and kudos to two of our firefighters, Todd Gailey and Bill Murphy. They were on the technical rescue of the dog in Napomo. Todd Gailey was the one that went down in the confined space and rescued the dog. Bill Murphy was running the compressor in the air to him. The rescue was successful. The dog was fine. As we all know, that's part of the family, so it's just as important as any human being. But I just want to say thank you to these firefighters that serve us each day. They're on the county technical task force, and I think we should all be proud of these two people who not only serve us, but serve our county. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith, for speaking. Okay, I think how about we end the applause there and we kind of get back to the general rule, no applause. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Robert Davis. I'm speaking tonight as a representative of the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee. Thank you for the North Main Street bike lanes. Mr. Leivick did a terrific job. Council of Governments has asked for a list of unmet bike needs throughout the county, and the Citizens Bike Committee has compiled the following list for Morro Bay. We need to complete a new Morro Bay City bike plan. We need to take a look at the intersection of Quintana and Morro Bay. There's no safe and easy way for northbound bicyclists to transition from Main Street onto the Class 1 bike trail. Also, the moving alignment of the northbound bike lane as it goes over the hill approaching Quintana is confusing to both motorists and to bicyclists. And that situation is made worse when the paint lines fade and they're difficult to see. We're asking that faded striping throughout the city of Morro Bay be repainted. The Class 1 multi-use trail beside the PG&E property needs to be raised above the flood level. Every time it rains, the trail is flooded and clogged with debris. North of that, where the Class 1 bike trail intersects with the Atascadero Road, there's a break, and across the road next to the high school, the bike trail picks up. It's about 100 yards west, and there is no safe way for pedestrians or bicyclists to cross Atascadero Road to get to the bike trail on the other side. So we recommend crosswalks. We'd like to designate safe routes to school thoroughfares north and south of Del Mar Elementary School. We'd like to construct a Class 1 multi-use trail from the Rock parking lot across Morro Creek to connect with the Cloisters, or construct a Class 1 trail through the power plant to connect North Morro Bay to the Embarcadero. State Parks needs to resurface Lower State Park Road from the campground over to the intersection with South Bay. And we would also like for them to construct a Class 1 multi-use trail beside Lower Park Road from Main Street clear around to South Bay. Would like to see completion. Is that my 3 minutes? Okay.
It is, Mr. Davis.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Thanks.
Not. Next, please. Hi.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, and City Staff. My name is Deanna Kennedy, and I'm a citizen and resident of Morro Bay. I would like to direct your attention at the present, the flyer that's up on the screen, and might I say there's other flyers to the back of the room. Here in Morro Bay, we have a desperate need to fill. Many seniors in Morro Bay are veterans, and we also have residents who are newly returned veterans from our wars overseas. Because of this need, I have decided to form a veteran support group. There are so many new laws passed and benefits, and for all the family. The PTSD and effects of Agent Orange during the Vietnam War finally recognized by the government and VA services. With so many baby boomers, the need for assistance is even greater. To understand that we as veterans have a place to turn, a place our family can look to for answers and assistance, is crucial in this day and time. So many individuals I have spoken to lack information and I just scrolled too far. Lack information and do not know where to turn. I, as a veteran, try to stay informed, and because recently retired, have found a need to research and provide answers and service to my fellow veterans. There will be one of what I hope to be many, a veteran support group. What does this mean? I'll close this. Best thing to do is talk from my heart. The thing is, so many people don't know where to go for answers. I've just dealt with a family that had no idea what their benefits are. They lost a father. They lost a husband. You know, I hate to bring some of this down to the dollar, but when you lose your partner in life, you lose that income too. You have a place to turn. If you've served in the military, you have a place to turn. If you need emotional help, you have a place to turn. They have veteran services where if you're hitting hard times and you just hit that lump in the road and you need to get by, they have financial services for you. There is so much out there that people don't know. So the Eagles were kind enough to step up, and yes, I do belong to them, but they were kind enough to step up, and you do not have to be a member. This is open to all family, meaning your children also, your spouse, the veteran, whether male, female, we don't care. It's open so you can get the information, you can make appointments. I'm going to have three individuals there. They started a new vet center also downtown SLO. And they will help as far as PTSD, setting up counseling, or otherwise. But it's important that these individuals, because we're baby boomers, it's important they know where to go and what to do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Barbara Dorr, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. Tonight I speak to agenda item D2. I speak in opposition to Mayor Yates' recommendation to eliminate the existing Planning Commission. I am here to defend our current Planning Commissioners, an independent advisory planning system, and to speak on behalf of the freedom of speech within the city of Morro Bay. Intimidation and fear of reprisal for speaking out have no place in Morro Bay or any local government. Members of the City Council, will you next allow the mayor to attempt to eliminate city staff members who are not in agreement with him? City staff, commissioners, and City Council each have a role in local governance. Please don't allow the mayor to begin the destruction of the city's advisory commission system and a free exchange of ideas to improve Morro Bay. The mayor's agenda item claims that the planning commissioners were grinding away at staff. My husband and I watched that meeting from home, and midway we came to the meeting. The commissioners were acting in a responsible manner and were merely asking important questions. These commissioners are professionals in their own right and intelligent. They are protecting the interests of the people of the city of Morro Bay and its future land use. Council need not agree with them. You make the final decision, but they deserve your respect. The mayor's agenda item further claims the commissioners didn't agree with the city attorney when he advised, quote, that their duty was to discuss the EIR amongst themselves and then make their recommendations, close quote. I think the commissioners were correct. They were simply asking questions of staff. Any reasonable person in their position would have done the same. Before commissioners can debate amongst themselves and reach an informed decision, they must have answers to their questions, basically gain information. The Brown Act states, the Act has been interpreted to mean that all of the deliberative processes by legislative bodies, including discussion, debate, and the acquisition of information, be open and available for public scrutiny. The mayor's report to council further states, the second argument I, meaning the mayor, have heard from fellow city council members is if we choose three new commissioners, they will keep the other two in check. The Brown Act requires that city council discussions take place in public, not among themselves, out of the public eye. Is the mayor's discussion with the other council members to prepare his agenda item a violation of the Brown Act? Members of the city council, please protect the integrity of your advisory commission system. Soon you will be interviewing potential commissioners. What message will you be sending them? Be careful what you say. Don't ask too many questions. Think about it. Please reject the mayor's request to replace all planning commissioners. This is a city council decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Please, please, please. The reason I asked not to applaud is, and we started this policy many, many years ago, is that if we allow applause, then you have to allow boos. And then once we start down that road, the whole meeting degrades. So please. So I just ask that we don't react with applause or any kind of outbursts like that. So thank you very much for helping me with that. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Ann Reeves, and I'm from Morro Bay. And I, too, wish to address the issue of dismissal of the Planning Commission with these prepared remarks. The Planning Commission, comprised of Messrs. Lucas, Lure, Diodati, and Irons, has shown the highest integrity and professionalism in discharging their duties. While the poor decisions of the past commissions still litter our town, this commission gave us all great hope that there would be no more costly failed development and that the sense of the small fishing village would not disappear altogether. It takes this kind of thoughtful expertise to blend the new and the old. Listening to KVEC this afternoon, I heard the mayor say that he was quite angry at the Planning Commission for disrespecting the city attorney. I was watching the meeting when Mr. Schultz reminded the commissioners that they weren't to question staff. The commission pointed out that staff in this case was also the applicant, and they felt they had to question them. And I believe Mr. Schultz agreed with that later on. Obviously, it's their vote against the EIR that has prompted this feeling. It's actually retaliation. They had the integrity not to rubber stamp what everyone knows is a costly failure. So a commission taking great care to examine and evaluate what had presented to them is now in this position. And I would like to paraphrase you, Mayor, on the radio this afternoon. I believe you said that you were angry and went right home and sat down and wrote your report. Well, I don't know. Is that extreme? Is it immature? Is it ill-advised? Or is it just a cover-up reason for what's to come?
Thank you, Ms. Reeves, for your input. Good evening, Mr. Weiss. Step right up.
John Weiss, of Coast Electronics in Morro Bay, and also to soon to be installed president of the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce.
Would you speak right into the mic, please?
Sorry about that. Honorable Mayor, City Council, staff, and citizens of Morro Bay, I'd like to invite all of you to the Chamber's annual installation dinner, which will be held this Thursday, January 13th, at 5:30 p.m. at the Inn at Morro Bay. If you are interested, please contact the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce at 772-4467. The Chamber has made many changes recently. We have welcomed our new CEO, Craig Schmidt, and are looking forward to a progressive agenda for 2011. We will be inviting local business members and city officials to participate on our committees for tourism, finance, and economic development. Our new and progressive board will be investigating the possibility of Gateway Chamber information kiosk at Highway 41 and the roundabout entrances to the city, and providing a dedicated computer in the visitor center to facilitate hotel and restaurant reservations along with local business information. Our board members and staff welcome you to stop in the chamber at any time or maybe take an hour or two to volunteer in the visitor center to see us in action. Lastly, I'd like to thank you for your continued effort to make Morro Bay the best it can be.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. My name is Dana Putnam. I'm a resident and homeowner in Morro Bay. I know that you made a comment about having the comments with the wastewater treatment plant later, but you allowed for some possibility of presenting early, so I appreciate that. So I'm going to present something on that now.
If you can't be with us during that public hearing, you may do it now.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. My comments are being made as someone who has been following the process around upgrading the wastewater treatment plant. I've attended meetings, made some comments, and watched the last Planning Commission meeting on TV. The issues I'm here to comment on are one, the location of the wastewater treatment plant, and two, the recommendation that was made by the mayor to replace all the existing members of the Planning Commission. In relation to the location of the wastewater treatment plant, I would like to urge the council to consider the possibility of alternative locations. The reasons for considering alternative locations include the Coastal Commission has indicated in a letter dated November 12, 2010, that alternative locations should be considered, and to not do so would likely cost Morro Bay time and additional funds to get a permit from the Coastal Commission. The wastewater treatment plant is in a location that is a significant resource to the city and could be used in alternative ways to better serve the community and local businesses. The wastewater treatment plant is a facility that cannot be easily moved or updated once in place and will be with us for decades, and now is the time to make sure that we do it right and provide for future anticipated needs. And then in relation to the recommendation that existing members of the Planning Commission be removed, I would like to say that I oppose this. The volunteers we now have on the commission have considerable relative expertise, and they are using that expertise to serve our community. I view the commission's independence as a positive thing. It is important that the commission be able to represent the community and provide an independent voice, as differing perspectives need to be voiced and heard to make good decisions. The role of the commission is not to rubber stamp staff recommendations. It is important that the city staff and council be responsive to the concerns of the representatives of the community, which are represented somewhat by the Planning Commission members. Thank you for your consideration.
Thanks for your comments. Thanks for coming down. Thanks for catching yourself. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. My name's Steve Rodarte. I live and work here in Morro Bay. One of the jobs I have here in Morro Bay is in a fast food restaurant that has a drive-thru. And sometimes people smoke while they're in the drive-thru. There's probably 1,000 studies that say that secondhand smoke is bad for your health. I probably don't make the best decisions for my health all the time either. But when asking people to not smoke in the drive-thru, a lot of them say they're just going to keep doing it. Some of them actually have called or emailed into our complaint line to complain that I asked them not to blow smoke in my face. I understand that people like to smoke. I've had a cigarette before. It was fine. But I just feel that while I'm at work, I shouldn't have to be subjected to it. Apparently, there isn't any city ordinance that protects me from that, so I would like you folks to take that into consideration and see what you can do. Once again, my name's Steve Rodarte. You can contact me at 801-1627, also at srodarte at calpoly.edu. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Steve, for coming down. Steve, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Who'd like to go next? Good evening.
Good evening. Virginia Hiramatsu, Morro Bay resident. I represent the Relay for Life, and that benefits both cancer research and cancer survivors, and also, well, I'll get to that in a minute. The Relay for Life meetings postponed to January 20th instead of January 13th due to the chamber dinner on the 13th. Also, we were planning a bunco game that benefits both Relay for Life and Rotary's Polio Plus, which is to eradicate polio. That was originally scheduled for January 19th. It's come a little too fast for us, and so we've postponed it to March 16th. The meeting on January 20th will be at 5 p.m. That's for committee members, and at 6 p.m. for team captains. And this is from last year. We'll be meeting at the Embarcadero Grill upstairs. And then we'll have our Relay for Life kickoff on March 10th at the same place at the Embarcadero Grill upstairs. If you have any questions, you can call Andrea Klipfel at 772-6188 or myself at 772-6157. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hiramazo. Thank you for coming down tonight. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Alex Beattie. I live and I vote in the city of Morro Bay. And I would like to request the new council to, as one of their first actions, to consider some special training for selected members of administrative staff. Kind of training I would suggest, sensitivity training, how not to impugn the character and knowledge of others. Professional integrity. Don't defend things that you're pretty sure are right. Please admit your mistakes and your misjudgments. I say these things because these actions are costing me and other citizens of the Morro Bay a lot of money. Another thing, I think they need some objectivity training. Learning how to consider all alternatives. Using equivalent scales. Please avoid biases. I'd like to give you some examples of this. We started this off with a selection of an engineering firm that most people in this city knew screwed up the design of a treatment plant in Los Osos, costing them at least $5 million. I know I'm an engineer. There's a lot of good engineering firms around. Somehow, and I've heard people say this, is somebody on the take? This is Montgomery is fine firm, but you know the people in Morro Bay are going to be suspicious of that. I'm suspicious of that. Secondly, rejection of the proposal by a firm that had a pretty good idea that looked like they're going to save us a lot of money, but the city attorney said, no, you want to submit a sealed proposal. You can't do that. Sealed proposals are the standard of the industry in engineering and design. I don't know where he came up with that ruling. Thirdly, we set a scope for the design of the wastewater treatment plant was seriously too limited. And that certainly smacks a lack of professional integrity. As I mentioned, I'm an engineer. I've been licensed a lot longer than anybody you have in your staff. And I know about professional integrity. And they did not distend. I would not stand. I would have quit my job before they made me defend a project that they had to do. Some other things. We had the director of public services implied that the Coastal Commission does not understand the draft of the EIR. And this is the kicker, because they're not engineers. It's generally not a good idea to insult the regulators. I learned that early, and especially for the wrong reasons. Other things, and they have certainly, I'd like to document for you sometime, making certainly unsubstantiated claims and presenting information that's just totally out of context. In conclusion, I sit there and say the problem is not with the Planning Commission. It's more directly related to the staff. I personally, I'd look at replacing the staff.
If you'd bring your comments to a conclusion. Thank you, Mr. Beattie.
Thank you.
Bye. Who'd like to go next? Oh, she beat you. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Dorothy Cutter, and this is a new year, and for me that means that I've lived in Morro Bay for 53 years. So I would like to say something about our current Planning Commission that the mayor wants to get rid of. They have been one of the best planning commissions we have had, if not the best, and I have not always agreed with them. Now, the job of the Planning Commission is to follow our zoning codes and make the best planning decisions. Their job is not to reward bad planning, and they should be applauded for speaking up to get the best wastewater treatment plant for the citizens of Morro Bay. They should not be publicly chastised by the mayor and punished for doing a good job. This council should keep our current excellent planning commissioners and not replace them with inferior choices. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cutter. Mr. Ocano, would you like to go next? Good Good evening and welcome.
Mr. Yates, what a pleasure. Honorable Mayor, Council, staff, friends, and friends at home, I'm Joey Ricano. I'm the director of the California Ocean Outfall Group, and I'm here as a resident of Los Osos. I want to commend the council for moving ahead with a wastewater treatment facility, not the current design, of course, and it's unfortunate that we wasted all of that money, and I look forward to maybe seeing it moved and a better project built for less money. In order to help you, what I've done is on the front page of the website, stopthewaiver.com, is a little reminder for everyone of the dire circumstances that we find ourselves in. A crew televised a camera through the pipes under Cayucas and Morro Bay several years ago. The condition is so dilapidated, and it's illustrated well on the website, so you can watch it. It's a video. And the condition was so bad that Arnold Schwarzenegger declared us a disaster. And we were pre-approved for $1.2 million of FEMA money and OES. In order to understand why the EIR is not relevant to our problems, all you need to do is watch the video, and you get a good view of how good it would be to build elsewhere, because we're going to need to do all that infrastructure. And unless you do it, basically what's happening is the amount of sewage that's being sent from Cayucas to Morro Bay, a lot of it, a good portion of it, never reaches the plant. That's how bad the broken pipes are, and the proof is right on stopthewaiver.com. Again, I thank you for what you're doing and for the difficult test that you've taken. And I know that you have a busy schedule, and I'll leave you be. I would like to touch on two other things. One of them is all around the state, solar panels are being put in to places that kind of compromise the environment. What's the idea of solar? Going green, clean energy. Well, you don't have to pull turtles out of the desert out of their holes to build solar panels. Likewise, you don't have to cut down trees. It's a bad message to send to the kids. And then finally, what I'd like to touch on is the marine reserve in Morro Bay East Estuary with the high amount of protection afforded by the Marine Life Protection Act. You have a marina right next door. I've counted a lot of boats there. That's a lot of diesel fuel. That's a lot of gasoline. I'm very interested to know what the spill emergency plan is for petroleum in the water, considering that those boats and those tanks, they're only a short distance from the SMR. And I thank you for this opportunity to address you, and congratulations on your new sitting.
Thanks, Mr. Ocano. Thanks for coming tonight. Good evening, Roger. Step right up.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is Roger Ewing. I'm a citizen of Morro Bay, and I would like to lend my voice in support of those who are in support of our current planning commission. I have watched a number of their meetings, and have, even though I may not have always agreed with them, and sometimes I've been disappointed with them, I never doubted for a moment that they lent their honesty, their integrity, and their fairness to each project that came before them. And that's what we ask of a planning commission, is to give a project a fair hearing, a complete hearing, so whatever decision is made, we the citizens understand it and eventually can accept it. Your decision to consider firing this current planning commission, I think, is a mistake. It said sends the wrong precedent. It puts everything in limbo. We had a system, a well-defined commission that brought integrity, brought fairness, and diversity. To replace them with a commission that leans more to your political thinking than the community's is not right. We are a community of ordinances, codes, and laws. And that's what gives us fairness. They brought a balance between the individual property rights and the community's rights. And it was refreshing to see all of that occurring in a city that for many years did not have that. I hate to think that we might be returning to the mantra of your previous administrations, the mantra of greed and selfishness. When you have a planning commission that thinks only one way, that's what you end up with. One way. Where's the diversity? Where's the recognition that we are a community of individuals, not just individuals? And as long as I have your rapt attention, I'll take a moment and also declare my opposition to the wastewater treatment plant EIR as currently written. I think it's a big, big mistake. No benefit at all to the citizens of Morro Bay. And I urge you, please, give very serious consideration about accepting that and sending it to the Coastal Commission, because in my opinion, I believe you will be wasting their time, and our money. We need to do what's right, and we need to do it now. And this current design is neither. Thank you for your attention, and have a good meeting.
Thank you, Roger. Nice to see you. Who'd like to go next? Good evening, Ms. Winholtz. Welcome.
My name is Betty Winholtz. Two hallmarks of effective communication are saying what you mean and doing what you say. Mr. Yates, Mr. League, and Ms. Johnson stated several times during the campaign that they are business friendly. After the election, Mr. Yates stated during his first speech, again on the radio, and recently door-to-door on Morro Bay Boulevard, that he was business-friendly, and should anyone need his assistance, that he was there for them. At your last meeting, the council, under Mr. Yates's urging, voted to move the city council meetings to Tuesday night, in spite of the fact that the business owner that records our meetings testified that it would hurt his business. He said it would hurt his business, one, because he had already signed a contract with the city for a reduced amount in sympathy to the constraints of our budget. And two, he would have to hire new people, thus impacting what profit he had reserved. I do not consider this business friendly. Perhaps there were extenuating circumstances for moving the meeting. Mr. Yates stated that this action had been talked about for many years. I've been on the council for the last 8 years, and it was never a topic of conversation. He stated it would give the council more time to review the packet. It is still 5 days released ahead of the meeting. No new time was allowed, and so it's not extended the time. Therefore, I hear no reason to move the meeting other than personal preference and to the hardship of a local business. So the question must be asked, what is business friendly, or does it not apply to certain businesses? Coming back to this main idea of saying what you mean and doing what you say, the mayor has stated several times that he is the mayor of everyone, of all the residents of Morro Bay. So I'm here tonight to ask him if that's true for me as well. Prior to Christmas, I submitted a complaint to city staff regarding tree cutting without a permit in my neighborhood, and I heard no response. 2 weeks after that, I called the staff who was responsible and received no return phone call. So I sent an email to your city attorney, and she has yet to respond to my complaint. So my question to you is, do I have a right to have a response from this city government? And if so, how is it that I should interact with them in order to get a response? I think my final comment will be also regarding the Planning Commission. Certainly, they reside at your pleasure, and it's your privilege to do what you want with them. But I would hope that you would come up with other reasons besides that they nitpicked a roof, that they were unfriendly and unsupportive to staff, which I find curious because that was under Ms. Johnson's chairmanship, and I don't remember that she allowed that kind of behavior when she was chair, and because you disagree with them over the EIR.
Thank you, Ms. Winholtz.
I just want to add that this is the second time, Mr. H, that you've canceled a planning commission. You did it again in 1994.
Thank you so much for that. Good evening, Ken. Step right up.
Good evening, Council. Ken Vestervel, resident of Morro Bay. Tonight I'm speaking to you on behalf of the Friends of the Morro Bay Police Department. And it's about our helping to raise funds for a new dog, a canine dog, which will be a multi-purpose dog. along with the hard times that the city is having. Unfortunately, there is not a budget for that, so we're going towards the public and the businesses to help raise funds for this dog, which includes training and a new vehicle. The vehicle should last us several years. The training should last us several years. The dog should last us several years, but there will be an ongoing yearly maintenance fee to raise that. Right now, we're looking at approximately $60,000 that has to be raised for that. Fortunately, without too much exposure, I think it's around $20,000 that has been raised through some generous people, including an anonymous donor who donated $10,000, which was very, very grateful. So, folks, look for us to be maybe coming around and visiting you or speaking to different clubs. There will be a PowerPoint presentation if any club wants to have us or any group of people would like to come, and the chief would be glad to come and do that, or our representative from the police department. So look forward to canine fundraising in the future. Our goal is 90 days from last week, so we hope to be very aggressive with that. Second, we're still going forward with a emergency vehicle car show, which is going to be April the 16th on a Saturday. The sole reason for that is, more importantly, to have fun, is to bring some business into town to help with the motels and the restaurants at that time, and for to have the for something for somebody to do. This year, it's going to be the weekend before Easter and 2 weeks before the Cruisin' Morro Bay Car Show. And so we look forward to that and look forward to maybe some of your support. Thank you, and have a pleasant meeting.
Thank you, Ken. Who'd like to go next? Okay, John, you can go after this young lady. Good evening. Welcome.
My name is Nancy Beattie. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I would like to say that the members of the Planning Commission should be retained because they have shown integrity in their sensitivity to varied interests, to their thoughtful and thorough approach to issues. They've been well-informed with insightful questions. They are from varied backgrounds relevant to public service. They should furthermore be retained because they were elected by they were selected by past council who were elected by the community, and their term should be honored. If dismissed, it not only looks like but is a power grab and is a denial of community rights and concerns. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Beattie. Mr. Barda.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is John Barta, and I'm here to tell you there is life after leaving the Planning Commission. Although it seems like only yesterday, a few years ago, then-Mayor Peters, Councilwoman Melody DeMeritt, and Councilwoman Betty Wendholz voted to fire the entire Planning Commission, of which I was one of the members. And I have to say I agree with former Councilwoman Wendholz when she says you have the right to do that. And on the substance of why you should do that, it's very clear the city has been on a path towards improving and replacing our sewage treatment plant now since the year 2003. In 2007, the city set a specific method that they were going to use for sewage treatment and where they would do that and how they would do that, and they committed to a timeline to be finished by the year 2013.
Excuse me, John. Yeah. Would you mind in the back taking the conversation outside, Mr. Beattie? Kathy? Thank you. Good.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Anyway, the city has been committed to a timeline now for some while. The city has hired many experts, has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars preparing not one, but two EIRs, you know, one and a half. They circulated one, and then when they saw there was an issue with floodplain, they moved it slightly over. And what's happening now is in the middle of this process, when the Planning Commission finally got its shot at the EIR, it tried to put itself atop the whole pile. Now, everything the Planning Commission does, the records of that go up to the Coastal Commission eventually anyway. But the thing that's outrageous, okay, is they, in addition to that, decided they were going to send a letter from the Planning Commission directly to the Coastal Commission. That is unprecedented. It never happened in the entire time that I was on the Planning Commission, and it's outrageous for the Planning Commission to put itself in a position to speak above the City Council that chooses it. For that reason alone, these commissioners should be given their walking papers.
Thank you, Mr. Barta. I'd like to go next.
Good
Good evening, Mr. Johnson. Welcome.
Good evening. Mayor, City Council, City employees, everybody. I agree with Barter. Barter took the words right out of my mouth because I'm neutral on this planning commission, whether you want to get rid of them or not. But I just remember 8 years ago, the same people that come up here and complain about the previous planning commission, fire them all. Let's start over again. Now these same people are getting up here and saying, oh, don't touch this planning commission. I think they're just trying to stir up the pot like they've been doing for many, many years in this town. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Who'd like to go next? Step right up. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. My name's Bob Stoller. I'm a farmer. We farm up on Highway 41. We have an avocado ranch that's been in operation since 1978. And we're very much interested, of course, in the resolution of the water treatment plant because we see the problem that goes back a number of years as I've been attending these meetings has to do with the reputation of the Montgomery, Watson, Harza people that somehow have gotten ahead of some of our thinking because early on, this goes back maybe 3 years, Mayor Yates, that people got up in the meetings, I've heard them, who have had intimate information considering the spotty performance history of this company. And now, lately, of course, we just found out that they've been thrown out of Louisiana, New Orleans, because of the kind of things that were going on over there, and I think that has to be taken into account in terms of the kind of people we're dealing with. Now, one of the problems, of course, that we came upon is that the treatment plant that we were considering over here was after spending around $30 million or maybe more, that 1 million gallons of water, of treated water, would be going back into the ocean without the kind of reclamation that would allow this water to be used in the state system to recharge the aquifers for agriculture here outside of the city. And also as a fantastic resource of fresh water. And you know that there isn't any situation in California where there isn't a demand for fresh water, no matter how large a rainy season we have or otherwise. So I think that we have to look and see whether or not we made a good decision, a reasonable decision in connection with the kind of plant we were discussing in the first place. Comes now the Coastal Commission's staff report in terms of the fact that this place is the present location is vulnerable to flooding because it's below the 100-year floodplain. It has a tsunami hazard as well, and there are just a whole bunch of other reasons why we have to consider relocating. But let's relocate with a facility that can give us some of the benefits of this water. Not just for the city, but for the outlying areas around us, because we farmers right now would love to have these aquifers that are being overdrawn recharged. And there is a 24-inch steel pipeline from the present PG&E plant up to the top of the tank farm that is over 600-foot elevation, and that water can be used and delivered by gravity to Toro Creek, Morrow Creek, Little Morrow Creek, maybe as far south possibly as San Bernardo Creek to
Thank
enhance
you,
the agricultural potential of this area and what it would do for the hinterland and economy of this county.
Thank you, Mr. Stoddard. Thanks for coming tonight. Who'd like to go next, please? Anybody else? Good evening.
Hi, Mr. Mayor and council and staff. Bob Doerr, resident of Morro Bay.
Can you say your name again? I'm sorry.
Bob Doerr. Bob, B-O-B.
Got the Bob.
B-O-B as in Doerr.
Doerr, got it. Welcome, Bob.
I'd like to speak to item B2 also. We might not be able to stay for the whole meeting, although usually we like to stay for the whole meeting. But anyway, I think the Planning Commission did a great job. In fact, I even liked the old Planning Commission when Nancy was the chairperson of that. I think they did a great job, too. But I think they made the right decision on this sewer plant. We've got an opportunity to relocate the plant. It just doesn't seem to make sense. If we have the opportunity, why leave it in the middle of the city? We can't expand Morro Bay to the west. We can't expand to the south. We can only expand to the north and possibly the east. So why maintain this plant that smells like a sewer plant in the middle of the summer? It's just a fact of life that that's the way it is. And I think there's an opportunity now to do something about it, to get it out of the middle of the city and away, three blocks from the high school. And as far as the appointment terms and the commissioners, possibly the code 2.28.040, maybe could be changed to, instead of terms of office, commissioners at the pleasure of the city council, maybe it should be removable for cause. And if you find cause, well, then you can remove them. But I thought they were doing the right thing. Thank you.
Thanks for coming tonight. Anybody else? We're running out of time. Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Steve Haney, Cayuga citizen, businessman. Thank you, Council, Mr. Yates, for giving me the opportunity to stand up and speak out. I've come to all these, or most of these meetings, where we've been given opportunity as citizens to speak our mind. And I just wanted to reach out and say thanks for giving us that opportunity. And this is the arena to do that. When we're invited to come up and have public comment, I really do appreciate that. I think that's commendable. It may not always be. It seems there's a lot of polarity with the issue that we keep bringing up, but we all have a relationship with each other in this community. And when we go out the door, we still have to keep that relationship, and we have to keep it fresh and alive. I want to encourage the council to do a few things, and that would be to increase the opportunity for public to reach out and speak their mind by either announcements on meetings so that the public is a little bit more aware of when and where and how to do this, because this is the arena to do it, not on the street when you can get in some big flare-up and, you know, everybody's got an opinion. And obviously in the country right now, it's out of control, disgusting, and we don't want to drag that into our community. There's got to be a way to announce these meetings and get, you know, the word out a little bit more, so we're not also, you know, passionate about our polarity or our side that we're trying to take here. And let's see, that's about it. The only other thing I'd like to say is I really hope you guys don't can these guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Haney. Thanks for coming down tonight. Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? I'm closing public comment. Thank you all. I'll run down the list here. I'm not going to talk about what everybody talked about, but I want to thank Gio DeGaramore for coming in and introducing Stax, Keith Taylor, Bob Davis, Donna Kennedy, Barbara Dorn, and Ann Reeves, and John Weiss. Congratulations on your chamber presidency. Dana Hutnam and Steve Ritarte and Virginia Hermatsu. Alex Beatty, thanks for being here tonight and giving us your input. Dorothy Cutter. Dorothy, you know, I have the meeting, the minutes from the January 2005 meeting when the Planning Commission was fired, and Dorothy stood before the council and said, fire them. And tonight she's here saying, keep them. So I'm, you know, there are some mixed signals going on here. Joey Ricano, pleasure seeing you. Roger Ewing, always a pleasure seeing you. Betty, thanks for coming down. I noticed that you voted also in favor of canning the last Planning Commission, and I'm getting mixed signals there. Ken Vestafeld, thanks for coming in. Nancy Beatty, thanks for being here. John Barta, Gary Johnson, Bob Stoller, always a pleasure to see you. Bob Dorr and Steve Haney, thanks for coming down. Those of you who did speak on the wastewater treatment plant, we're assuming that you have spoken your piece on that. And when that public hearing comes, as I said at the top, then you've had your shot at that. And I'm so glad that you all came down tonight and gave us that input. And everybody was respectful, and I'm very, very grateful for that. And we're going to take a five-minute break. Okay, eight-minute break, and we'll come back for public hearings. We'll take our seats. We'll resume. Mr. Smuckler here?
Ah, there he comes.
Sorry, Manel.
He's making pizza for Friday night.
As per our rules, we're going to move right to public hearings, so the consent calendars will be put off to the end of the meeting. So we are at item B1, and I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Luker.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor. Item B1 is appeal of the Planning Commission's decision to approve Coastal Development Permit CPO 322 to allow the installation of 9 solar arrays with the associated structures and mechanical equipment. The project is proposed also includes the trimming of major vegetation. And I will turn that over to Kathleen Wold, our planning manager, for presentation.
Good evening. As the city manager has indicated, this is an appeal of the Planning Commission's decision to approve Coastal Development Permit CP0-322. And we'd just like to give you a little summary of the major issues surrounding this project, and that is the proposed tree trimming associated with the installation of the solar arrays, the view of the solar arrays from the beach area and Highway 1, and the California Environmental Quality Act analysis performed of this project done by the school district. A little background on this project is that the school district applied for this coastal development permit in the year 2009 and has been working with staff to diligently through the year of 2010. And there have been some modifications to this project, some different changes to the intended removal of vegetation, modified down to trimming of the vegetation. A public hearing was scheduled before the Planning Commission on October 4th, 2010, and it occurred. There was a decision on that. It ended up being that there was some issues with the public noticing for that meeting, and therefore a subsequent hearing was held in November 1st, 2010, in which the Planning Commission conditionally approved this project. On November 12th, there was an appeal filed with the City of Morro Bay requesting that the City of Morro Bay assume the CEQA jurisdiction, perform an initial study to identify the environmental impacts, and incorporate mitigation measures via a mitigated negative declaration. We'd like to point out that the environmental determination was done by the San Luis Coastal Unified School District, and they found this project exempt from CEQA under Class 2, C3E, and Class 14. The issue of whether or not the city was responsible for the CEQA analysis or whether the school district was can be answered pursuant to CEQA Section 15051, which speaks to the issue of when you have two or more public agencies involved with the project. The determination of which agency will be the lead agency is governed by the following criteria. If the project will be carried out by a public agency, then that agency shall be the lead agency, even if the project would be located within the jurisdiction of another public agency. This is quite apparent that this is the situation with this project. It is located within the city of Morro Bay, but the school district is the responsible public agency for carrying out the project. As such, there's no question under CEQA regulations that they can assume lead agency responsibility, and therefore that issue, staff feels, has been answered in regards to the appellant's question on CEQA lead agency. There are also some issues and statements contained in the appeal letter regarding LCP policies, general plan policies, and statements made that the project is inconsistent. However, missing from the appellant's documentation is any substantiation of how the project is inconsistent other than the statement that it is. We feel that the staff's documentation within the staff report that went originally to Planning Commission and the second time clearly documents that the project is consistent with the general plan and LCP, and therefore we also feel that this issue has been addressed. And finally, let's see, there is the applicant requires additional alternatives to the project proposed by the school district, and we would just like to point out that there is no requirement under CEQA when a project is found exempt to provide an alternative analysis. That is something that is reserved for an environmental impact report. And with that, we would just like to provide you with a recommendation that staff provides the council with this evening, which is that you deny the appeal and uphold the Planning Commission's conditional approval of Coastal Development Permit CP0-322.
Thank you, Kathleen. Before we start the public hearing, questions for Kathleen? Noah?
Actually, a question for Mr. Schultz. It's just more of a confirmation, actually. Have you, I'm sure you have, reviewed the Planning Commission conditions, and do you think those are sound as far as being able to hold up legally?
Yes.
Thank you.
George? Questions for staff? Nancy? Carla? Okay, here's how it's going to work. We're going to ask, I've talked to Ms. Tacker. She may have up to 10 minutes. The school district may have 10 minutes. Then we will open it to the public. Then if Mrs. Tacker has an overpowering desire to rebut, she may have 3 minutes, and the school district may have an additional 3 minutes, and then we will bring it back to council. And that's how this will run. So we will start with Ms. Tacker, the appellant, and welcome Ms. Tacker. And if Jamie would keep track of that for me. Thanks.
Thank you, and good evening. I am Julie Tacker. I've lived in Los Osos for 40 years. I am a graduate of Morro Bay High School. I've followed these projects. I don't know if you're aware, but there are other projects at other school sites similar in nature to this, what I call a solar carport project. I just want to say that Morro Bay is beautiful. Morro Bay beautiful is a common slogan in your community. You even decorate your trash cans. That says something about how proud your community is of its beauty. Now I'd like to be candid. This project is ugly. It's very simple. These structures are unnecessary. We can have solar generation on rooftops where we're all accustomed to them. The school district even presented an alternative to placing these solar arrays, solar carports, from the scenic highway towards the west side of the school where the bus barn is, out of the visual impacts of your community, for your community. The three solar projects that are going through in Los Osos were evaluated or analyzed slightly by the Los Osos Community Advisory Council, and they voted 8-1 to deny the projects. They're discretionary projects. It's a discretionary permit, and that you have the discretion to take the lead agency status. And what I was saying about LOCAC is that one of their members coined the phrase visual blight in our community, the community of Los Osos. I believe that you have... This project invites visual blight into your beautiful community. Staff talked about the categorical exemption. In your packet, there's an April 16th, 2010 letter from your planning staff, a different planner, Janine Lehatsky, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce her name. But she says that the city would do its own initial study and its own environmental determination. And that's, I think, what we all expected, that the city would take the lead. Alternatives would be analyzed, this possibility of a project on the west side of the school. At your planning commission, Commissioner Irons suggested a project that surrounded the flagpole. That's not included in your staff report. That project was never analyzed. Commissioner Luhr suggested that the arrays go down the east-west hallways where the children walk from class to class. That project was never analyzed. And again, rooftops were never analyzed. You have acres and acres of buildings there, and they were not analyzed by a structural engineer to see if they would be fit for holding solar arrays. In my appeal, and again tonight, I will ask that you send the project back to your staff to take the lead agency status and do the initial study and the environmental determination that analyzes other project alternatives, ones that do not have the visual impacts, ones that may not damage as many trees. You'll find in your packet that the applicant parades the Solar Rights Act before you as a reason that they can build really whatever they want. That's not the case. The Coastal Act is not trumped by the Solar Rights Act. I think that's why we all support the Coastal Act. Coastal Act takes precedent. Speaking of precedent, solar carports are not in the coastal zone anywhere that I could find on the coast of California. The climate isn't necessary for carports over parking lots in the coastal zone. We're all accustomed to very mild days. So the argument that these would provide shade for cars is moot. The applicant provides a visual simulation. Their simulations show you screening, a landscape screening project that will come to fruition in some 10 years. It's written right on the PowerPoint that's copied for you in your staff report. I would have to say that carports are not a coastal dependent use, and nor are they a school dependent use. I would like to cite some CEQA. As far as categorical exemptions go, there's code number 15300.2, and that the categorical exemption shall not be used for an activity where there is a reasonable possibility that the activity will have a significant effect on the environment due to unusual circumstances. Scenic highways. A categorical exemption shall not be used for a project which may result in damage to scenic resources, including but not limited to trees, historic buildings, rock outcroppings, or similar resources within a highway efficiently designated as a state scenic highway. Your highway is designated a scenic highway. I think the categorical exemption is misplaced in its application for this project. I don't want to take much more of your time. I have sent you letters, and I hope you got the supplemental letter I sent January 8th. I point out that you are a member or partner with the Tree City USA program, and I think damaging these trees, even for trimming, flies in the face of that partnership. It appears the project's within your 100-year floodplain and within your tsunami zone, and it just raises the question, where there's hundreds of children going to school, why would we add electrical facilities at, say, 12 feet off the ground when we may have water induced by a flood or a tsunami impact. I am available for questions. I won't be gone until this is over. And I just want to leave a message with you tonight that the project really did not receive a thorough analysis. Alternatives were not analyzed, as I said. Rooftops, the west side of the property, even perhaps these, what Commissioner Lohr suggested, in hallways over the school or for the kids to walk under. You have the discretion to send this back to staff. I would ask that you do. And to allow this project to move ahead in this way that we've come to tonight is a governmental courtesy that your city would be allowing for the school district. That flies in the face of CEQA. It flies in the face of the Morro Bay Beautiful. And I'll close with that.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. The school district here. There we go. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, staff. My name is Brad Parker. I'm consultant to the San Luis Coastal Unified School District, the district that has the schools here in Morro Bay, as well as Los Osos, San Luis Obispo. I would like to start with to assure the city that the Board of Education is still very much behind this project, that district-wide this is approximately 1.7 megawatts of clean, renewable energy, which will serve as an example for school children for generations. I don't want to take up a lot of your time. These things have been discussed in depth at the Planning Commission and at other meetings. I would want to point your attention to Attachment 3, which is the district's attempt to address each of the appeal contentions raised by Ms. Tacker. I think that they're adequately addressed and that the council will find that there is no basis for the appeal. And with that, I'll let this move on. Thank you.
Thank you. That's what we call succinct. Now we have public comment. If any of you would like to comment on this project, please step right up, state your name, and please state where you're from. And it's 3 minutes. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Piper Riley. I'm from Los Osos. I'm the mother of four children who will potentially each be going 4 years to this school. I'm here in support of Julie Tacker and her appeal of the solar project. Issues I agree with are visual impact, removal of valuable trees and their habitat, lack of environmental review, and issues of wetland setback. I strongly feel that these solar panels should be installed on existing rooftops and see these carports as being ripe for vandalism and potentially hazardous for children who may try to climb upon them. These issues are common among all the projects proposed in Morro Bay, Los Osos, or San Luis, but particularly here, where the site is near a 100-year floodplain and in a tsunami zone, which only complicates matters further. I urge your board to reconsider the project to protect vital habitat, visual beauty, and consider safety issues, and therefore install the solar panels on existing structures. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. We'd like to go next. Good evening.
Good evening. Barry Brannon from Morro Bay. I attended the entire Planning Commission when they reviewed this project and heard the commissioners try to determine how they could best give Morro Bay the best we could have, and that's why the Planning Commission came up with the recommendations. Their big goal was one of the realizations that the school district can cut all of the trees on the property. We have nothing to say about it. And the commissioners were saying if we at least put these conditions on it, we could get a condition from the school district that they would not basically decimate all the trees on the property. And I think the only reason they tried to do that is because they felt that the staff had, shall we say, rolled over and allowed the school district to be the lead agency. That was not what the Planning Commission wanted. They wanted us to have the lead agency on it, And so they were trying to make the best with what they had. And I agree. I think this appeal is the proper way to go. This whole project, and with all the hours we spent on it, is ill-conceived. They actually said that one of the carports was placed where it was because that was where an electrical panel was, and it was cheaper for them to do it that way. And the whole concept of putting up aluminum carports, I've been in Sacramento where they have these, work very well up there on an industrial building. But when you have it all amongst the trees in Morro Bay, it just doesn't make any sense, and this doesn't have viability. And I recommend that you grant the appeal, deny the project, and take it back as Morro Bay as lead agency. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your comments. Good evening, Ms. Bast. Welcome.
Good evening, Nancy Bast, Morro Bay. I, too, was at that Planning Commission meeting, and the commissioners tried to compromise, and I think they did some very wise things, but I do support this appeal. The thing that I want to talk about is that they allowed 1 year of a survey to see whether or not those trees will may result in reduced vigor, decline, and even death of the trees. In addition, new branches that form below the cuts are only weakly attached to the tree and are in danger of splitting out. It is often impossible to restore the structure of the tree crown after topping. The legislature's findings recognize that topping of trees is misunderstood, and this form of pruning detracts from public benefits, including premature decline, death, disease, insects, wood rot of these trees. These findings also recognize that a great number of personnel performing maintenance in trees unknowingly and unintentionally produce irreversible harm. Also, one of the things they have found is that to derive the maximum ecological benefit from the urban forest, the current trend towards planting smaller trees will need to be reversed. And I see that's what's going on in our community all the time. Finally, the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, through certain sections of the Public Resource Code, furnish to every public agency, including the state, city, and county, school district, or community college districts, copies of these Western of the specifications standards for trimming trees. And I would hope that our city and our school district have those.
Thank you, Ms. Bast.
And policies.
Thank you. Good evening.
Now I have more time. Good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. It's a pleasure to be here. I certainly understand that.
Can you state your name and your residence?
Barbara Dorr, Morro Bay resident and voter. I know it's important that we work cooperatively with our school district, and we and our family support solar. We have a hybrid car, and it's critical that our young people learn. We, too, watched part of the Planning Commission meeting when this item was discussed. And I think the one thing I was very surprised at was the noise that was coming, the decibel level. I'm sure you may, Mr. Smuckler, maybe you were at that meeting, but the noise levels, the decibel levels were quite high out of the solar. You think of it as being silent, but when you're generating that electricity, and I don't know if it would be possible this evening to get a response from Mr. Parker as far as the impacts to the students on any noise levels from the solar. I think that's a critical issue. And then the other point is I did review some of the staff report and the comment letter from the consultant, and he had asked that it be in your agenda and available to the public. And in regards to the scenic highway issues, I mean, it's Highway 1 is a California scenic highway. It's not just Morro Bay. It's throughout the state of California. And what he seemed to be saying was parts of the school are ugly, therefore the solar didn't make any difference. There are other parts along Highway 1 that are ugly, like it doesn't make any difference that you continue to degrade the appearance of what all of you and all of us want to see as a more beautiful Morro Bay and a more attractive, inviting Morro Bay, especially for tourism and visitors and the economy. So I would just... And then they pointed out the cloisters is really the scenic part of Highway 1. And it's much more than that. It's the whole Highway 1. So I think the logic that they used, I hope planning staff, when comments on EIRs or documents come in that say it's already ugly, therefore it's okay to make it more ugly, is looked at a little bit differently and countered and say our goal in Morro Bay is to make Morro Bay more beautiful, more attractive. So that I found to be offensive in the staff report. Thank you.
Thanks, Mrs. George. Who'd like to go next? Betty?
My name is Betty Winholtz. I spoke before the school board regarding this issue when they dealt with it there. I was not able to attend the Planning Commission meeting, but my major concern, and it still is my concern, is that this is not a CEQA-exempt project, and the school board is presenting it to you as though it is. And Ms. Tacker presented to you the numbers from the CEQA guidelines that tells you that that's not true, 15300.2, because it has a significant effect on the environment, is Part C and Part D, that it is part of our scenic highway. And it literally says, a categorical exemption shall not. That tells you that there are no exemptions. It shall not. So whether or not the school district has already ruled on the CEQA document, it is a matter before you this evening. And just like the Coastal Commission will review your decision tonight on the EIR, so can the city review the school district's review of
what happened in San Luis and here in Morro Bay, though we were concentrated on our area. But the unattractive carport structures, concerns for child safety, concerns for vandalism. So we basically felt that there needed to be there has to be some reason that these the panels should be installed on rooftop. Costco has their roofs covered with solar panels. The Palm Theater in San Luis Obispo is a 75 to 100-year-old building. They run the entire theater on solar panels. Their roof is covered with them. Now, if the school districts can't figure out a way to put the panels up on the roofs, where I think you have a much higher level of safety, you have a visual improvement by not removing trees, by having them out of sight, not having the clutter throughout parking lots, and possibly electromagnetic frequencies that will not be as intense in the area where the people come and go and children are playing. So that's my concern. Those trees that you're proposing to cut down are not only scenic, they're antiques. 75 to 100-year-old cypress trees are irreplaceable in our lifetime. And when you want to show, it's always deceptive to show what it will look like in 10 years or in 20 years because you don't know whether these plants are going to make it or not. And the expense of starting all these new plants and stuff should be a consideration for a town that is out of water. What else did I want to bring? Teaching children about solar is kind of a cheap shot to say, we don't want to put them up on the roof. We're just going to build these. It's more clutter and more building material to build these carport structures, scatter them throughout parking lots, and to tell children that you can just take a shortcut and do it that way rather than figure out how to put them up on the roof where you get your optimum sun collection is really, I think, giving them the wrong message about this. So I urge you to please support the appeal and take it back and see what you can do to get the school district to find a better location for these arrays if they need to put them in. I think you had some great alternative options, the breezeways, to go ahead and use those to cover. Those are good options, and that saves your trees, keeps your visual going, and I think that's the best way to solve your arrangement with the school district.
Thank you. Who'd like to go next? Anybody else? Okay, then I'll close the public comment. Ms. Tacker, did you want to? Not much for you to rebut there, I don't think, but I offered it and you can have it.
There wasn't much to rebut, if you allow.
As long as it's focused, right. If you just have to rebut on the comments that were made. Strictly. That's our agreement.
Okay.
Okay.
Lindy mentioned the rooftop and why the school district can't get it up, can't get them up there, get them on the roof. They haven't given a good answer. The preemptive rebuttal, the district will tell you, the district's consultant will tell you that costs for re-roofing over the life of the project will be cost prohibitive.
Respectfully, Julie, because we had an agreement on this. You're rebutting something that wasn't said.
Okay. Then I would like to then underscore Piper's comment about the wetland setback, and I believe that one of the arrays is very close to the northern stream or drainage way that supports wetland habitats on the northern property line.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does the school district want to come back? And I guess the question is being begged here, why not on the roof? So if you would address that, I would be grateful.
I'd be glad to. First, we've talked about the tree removal. I wanted to rebut some of the statements. The project, as approved by the Planning Commission, removes no trees whatsoever from the site and does no tree trimming for any of the Monterey Cypress trees along Highway 1. That is the approval by the Planning Commission. The view currently from Highway 1 towards the high school is primarily through the tree trunks because the canopy is much higher. The project plants an understory planting that provides screening of the existing parking lot, the existing agricultural laydown yard for the agricultural students, and the school. So I think I would argue that the view from Highway 1 will be improved by the plantings that we're going to provide. Again, we have no permit now to trim any trees along Highway 1 and no authorization to do so in the future. If we were ever to come to me tonight, but it's, so I can't quote it, but it's not that loud, and that's at a close distance from it. A lot of talk about roofs. The school board, a committee was formed by the school district, and they reviewed a number of proposals as well as the question about whether we should recommend to the Board of Education to go rooftop or carport-type structures. And the committee recommended the carport structures for a number of reasons. One, the potential for roof leaks over sensitive areas, classrooms, disrupting the educational process, as well as the likely difficulty in assigning responsibility for those leaks, whether it would be the power PPA provider or not.
I've got to end it. Fair is fair. Okay. However, questions are fair game, too. We'll start with Noah.
Thank you. How did you know? I have a question for Mr. Schultz to follow up on my first question about the Planning Commission conditions. And really, I'd like your opinion on what you see the strength of those conditions being for not just the initial replanting, but the extended life of the project. Do you see those conditions saying that that screen and the remaining cypress trees or the replanting of any cypress trees would basically be in perpetuity?
Yes, and I would correct the applicant. These trees are not public right-of-way trees, so technically they can trim the trees, and we don't have any ordinance that protects private trees, so they can be trimmed without it. But by this condition that they've agreed to now, they would have to go back through the process to allow for the trimming after the year with that condition. So it actually, there's more of a protection that has occurred through this process than there is without it.
Okay. Another question I had, and I assume that it's not going to happen, but basically some of the existing screen, not the cypress, but mostly along the Highway 1 corridor, those trees are mostly myoporums, and we're definitely seeing a die-off of those short-lived trees. And I'm actually starting to see some signs on those trees that they may be infected as well. And I'm wondering, would that screening that's existing also be included in the required screen as part of these conditions?
Yes. Again, if those were to die off without the project, I don't believe we have any condition that would require them to provide screening. But with the project, we can go in at any time if there's not adequate screening and require it as part of the conditions of the permit.
Okay. Thank you.
Carla?
I have no questions. I'll wait for comments.
George?
No, the only question I have is getting to the sound. This makes, what is it? What do you say? 65
decibels.
Decibels. What is that? Is that kind of a hum, or has you got any idea what that is? I mean, I realize you don't have your stuff to demonstrate.
Yeah, I believe it's a 60-cycle hum, similar to what you might hear from a transformer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
Is it? Nancy?
I have no questions.
Nor do I. I watched the meeting as well. I thought the planning commissioners went through it well. There was conditions added. It wasn't one planning commissioner or another who approved it. It was the planning commission as a whole voted on it and approved it with the conditions that they approved. I hear Ms. Tacker's the reasons for your appeal. I don't agree with them, especially the lead agency one. I have to take my lead from staff on this, and we read the legal opinion, and we've received the legal opinion, and that's where I choose to put my belief. So I believe the school district has the right to be the lead agency on this. I'm comfortable with the trees. We trim trees here all the time. We trim all the trees downtown. We trim trees around town all the time. It's not an unusual thing that we do in Morro Bay. So I am okay with the project, and I am of the mind to deny the appeal. Who would like to go next? Okay, Nancy?
I was part of the planning commission that approved this project, so I think it was very well mitigated. It was adequately and in-depth discussed. I didn't hear any new information tonight that would change my mind. As I said before, trees need to be trimmed to remain healthy. I also said before, I think, and I'll say it again, those trees are planted too close together.
I replaced at my house yesterday, and they're 45 to 50 decibels, so I don't see that 65 is much louder than the bathroom fan in a confined space. So I'm good with the project.
I'm fine with it.
No. Initially, when I heard about this project, I believe almost a year ago, I had some strong concerns. I didn't like the proposal as it stood and was paying very close attention as it worked its way through the process at the school district level and then as it came to our planning commission. And watching those two planning commission meetings and the amount of time and thought that went into their conditions and seeing the results of those conditions and what it does for the view corridor there, for the planting and longevity of that planting, I have to support this project and deny the appeal. I think we probably have some better options for location, but I'm not an expert in that, and I have to trust the school districts considered those alternative locations. And ultimately, I'd prefer to see infill with these solar panels rather than sprawling out into wildlands, and this definitely is doing that. It's covering a parking lot, which is not producing much more than a parking opportunity, and to see that we're actually going to be generating energy there without major loss of trees and canopy coverage is a good thing. So I agree with my colleagues on this.
You know, and I've put five kids through that school. I was a parent out there for 15 years longer. George, the same. Carla, and probably there's 50 years of high school parenting sitting up here. We love that school, just like you love that school. We don't want to see it screwed up. This is what we believe, and this is the road we're going to follow, obviously, clearly. And we'll take a vote here in a minute, and we wish the school district well with their project, and we'll all come down and see it when you finish it, and we hope it's successful for everyone. So that said,
you want a motion?
Sure, go ahead.
I move that the city council deny the appeal and uphold the
Planning Commission's conditions of approval for coastal development permit CPO 322.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. I'm sorry, Ms. Tacker, it didn't work out for you. And now we'll move to B2, Ms. Luker.
Item B2 is appeal of the Planning Commission's decision to deny certification of the Morro Bay Cayuga Sanitary District Wastewater Treatment Plan Environmental Impact Report and denial of the Coastal Development Permit, CPO 339, and Conditional Use Permit, UPO 307. I'll turn it over to Rob Leivick, our Public Services Director, for the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen Wald will give the majority of the presentation, but we also have Tom Barnes from ESA who will be following Ms. Wall's presentation, be giving a brief presentation on the CEQA issues and a brief overview of the process that we followed during the CEQA process. Also, we have our technical staff in the audience to answer questions on the wastewater project itself. Thank you. Ms. Wald.
Thank you. This evening, I'd like to start with giving a little bit of brief background on the wastewater treatment plant project as we have before us tonight. I'd like to indicate that the wastewater treatment plant is operated under a National Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit issued by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Board. This current permit allows for discharge of a blend of primary and secondary treatment treated effluent to the ocean through an existing 27-inch diameter outflow pipeline. The discharge is in accordance with the Section 301H of the Federal Clean Water Act, and that modifies the requirement for full secondary treatment in certain cases. As you all know, the MBSDSD has made a commitment to the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Board to phase out the need for this permit and by upgrading the wastewater treatment plant to at least full secondary treatment by March 2014. We provide this information for you to kind of give you a background on what exactly the project objectives were when we started out with this project. The proposed project would construct facilities to provide full secondary treatment for all effluent discharged through its ocean outfall and to provide enhanced treatment with tertiary filtration capacity equal to 1.5 million gallons per day. And to answer some of the questions that have been about the past background and how we got to the place we are today and why the project was proposed for this site location, we offer that the process of examining the various planning and design options were carefully analyzed during the past several years through a facility master plan, which was prepared by Carrillo Engineers. Excuse me. The process involved intense technical analysis and public input and discussion, which resulted in the current project description and location based on analysis and public input as preferred project for upgrade of the plant. The decisions made by the JPA board have supported local sustainability by positioning the community for future water reuse from this project. The facility's master plan considered historic and projected flows and loads were analyzed for the 20-year planning period. New flows and loading projections are used to design treatment alternatives for upgrade of the plant, as well as assist in determining future capacity needs for the city and the Cayuga Sanitary District. The objectives of the project were to comply with the secondary treatment standards contained in the 40 CFR Part 133, to phase out the need for a 301H modified discharge permit, to minimize flooding impacts on the site of the plant and adjoining properties, accommodate future installation of reclaimed capacity to meet Title 22 requirements for disinfected tertiary recycled water for restricted use or unrestricted use, excuse me, and compliance with the settlement agreement for issuance of permits to an upgrade of the Morro Bay Cayucas Wastewater Treatment Plant and be fully operational by March 31st, 2014. And with that, that's how we ended up where we were starting with this project. In the staff report that was presented to Planning Commission, we provided, as we do with all planning projects, our analysis of the local coastal plan and the general plan and how we feel the project meets the objectives and is consistent with it. And we provide those for you tonight inside the staff report. I won't go into those because they're rather lengthy. But what I will do is provide a little overview of what seems to be the focus of discussion, which is the Coastal Commission letter that we received. I'd like to just point out that the Commission submitted electronic their response to the draft EIR November 12, 2010. And their correspondence, while stating their general support of the proposed project based on the beneficial effects to the water quality in Estero Bay that it brings into compliance the Cayucas Sanitary District with its National Pollution Discharge Elimination System Phase 2 permit and providing an avenue to address other public utilities constraints related to water supplies in the area, they did have a number of issues. So they started out their letter saying they had a general support for our project. An overview of these issues were that the district proposed preferred site location appears to be inappropriate for development proposed, in that it's located a major public works infrastructure facility in an area that is subject to multiple significant hazards, is not considered with the hazards policy of the LCP. What staff would like to point out to, and we do provide this for in your staff report, is that that the city's LCP and certified LCP indicates that this is provided for, that the not only the land use designation, but the actual language contained within the documents identifies this as an industrial site and also goes further to say that it's a protected site for the wastewater treatment facilities. As we know, the LCP and the general plan documents provide a vision for future growth of a city. They're what we call the foundation documents for a city's development. It is surprising to staff, at least planning staff, that the Coastal Commission would identify in their letter inconsistencies with the hazard portion of the LCP and not address the issue of that we are consistent with the general plan designation of the site and that the general plan designation actually protects the site. So when I want to get to the point that in looking at this, we feel that it is very concerning and very difficult for a city to move forward with their planning, long-term planning documents, when the very designation provided for within this documents is now in question with the Coastal Commission. We point out that the hazards that exist at this site existed at the time that our local coastal plan was certified by the Coastal Commission. They're not new, and if it was certified at that location, we question why it can't be once again. Why there isn't a question about whether that site is actually appropriate for a wastewater treatment facility. The other issue brought up by the Coastal Commission's letter was the capacity of the wastewater treatment plant. Staff has provided documentation as to how we came up with the capacity that's provided in the project description. And without getting into a long, involved description, it is within your staff report that provides how we did that. And we feel that it is consistent with the LCP and the general plan in that we've cited it with sensitivity to new technology, to the city's overall build-out projections as they would be today and not where they would be in 1988. We have a better sense of information and know where we're going with our population projections. And that ultimately we feel that it is sufficient capacity in the plant without providing an oversizing of the plant. So we all know oversizing facilities can be growth. In addition, there were some issues brought up by the Planning Commission, and I'll go over briefly with those. One was the insufficient alternative studied, a shortened time frame schedule from 14 years to 8 years. Once again, the issue that the project's not an upgrade of an existing plant, but should be viewed as a new plant, new project. The scoping of the environmental document was insufficient. The EIR analysis was insufficient. The technical merits of a project, including effluent quality discharge to the ocean, outfall, water reclamation, building height, issues of that having to do with actual project-specific design, and then the importance of the household hazardous waste collection facility. And I'd just like to address just a few of those of what was brought up at Planning Commission. Staff would like to point out that while the Planning Commission did identify some issues with the alternative site studied, that the EIR does actually meet the CEQA test for alternative site analysis. We think that by giving you some background of what took place and in providing and supplemental materials within the staff report, the list, a chronological list of what's taken place at this plant, we can identify that prior to engaging in an EIR, that city staff did do analysis, site analysis, and it was the decision of city staff and the council to move forward on this project site. So we think in both avenues that we've met the test of that there was sufficient analysis, one in an EIR and one in what was done prior to even engaging the project site and engaging consultants with the EIR. We also would just like to just point out that the scoping for the environmental document and all these other issues that I believe that the EIR consultant will address, but also that we get down to the issue of, and with the Planning Commission also was an issue with establishing the baseline and the staff's recommendation or the EIRs actually containing the baseline of an existing plant there and the whole argument of whether it's a new plant or an upgrade. And we just like to point out that and stated in the staff report that CEQA, the guidelines and regulations contained in CEQA actually set down when the baseline is established, and that's when the NOP is sent out. That's how the EIR was and the project went forth under the guidelines of CEQA, and that also was done. We think we have provided substantial evidence that that was also met the rules and regulations of CEQA. With that, I'd just like to point out that there's a complex amount of information here, but in the Planning Commission staff report that we provided in your packet, it talks about project-specific issues. We haven't revisited those in your staff report, but they are by reference incorporated into your staff report, and I would be available to answer any questions. I'm not going to go into any details to those tonight. Obviously, it's a significant amount of information for me to present to you. And with that, I guess I will just provide for you that we have provided two recommendations. One is staff recommendation, and to respect time here, I don't think I'll read it into the record, but we have a staff recommendation, we have a Planning Commission recommendation. We provide those for you so that you have two alternatives before you tonight. And with that, I'll turn it over to the CEQA consultant.
Good evening. Welcome to Morro Bay.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. Excuse me. My name is Tom Barnes. I'm with Environmental Science Associates, ESA. ESA was contracted with the City of Morro Bay in 2008 to prepare an environmental impact report on a proposed project of upgrading the treatment plant. We began the process with pursuant to the CEQA guidelines with a notice of preparation of an EIR that was published October 28, 2008. We had a public scoping meeting in Morro Bay November 18, 2008. To solicit public input and a responsible agency input on the content of the EIR as required by the CEQA guidelines. Sometime later, after some flood study analysis came to light, the city decided to issue a revised notice of preparation that showed a slightly different footprint to elevate the plant and facilities out of the floodplain. That new NOP was made public in October 13, 2009, and had a 30-day public review period. So there were two NOPs issued for this process to solicit input on the project and the content of the EIR. Then the draft EIR was published September 20, 2010. The 45-day public review period closed on November 4th. During that 45 days, we had three meetings here in Morro Bay, one with the Planning Commission, one with that it looks at. Two of them are treatment, different types of treatment and effluent quality, and then one is an off-site alternative that would locate a new plant in Chorro Valley. That alternative was seen as creating new impacts from being a plant that was not in the low point in the watershed and would require pumping of sewage to the plant and then back to the outfall, as creating some additional impacts that was not were not associated with the existing site. So the EIR then makes the conclusion and outlines why the proposed project is seen as the environmentally superior project. The staff and ESA prepared responses to comments received and presented those in a final EIR package that was made available to all the commenters. That final EIR, which is constituted by the draft EIR as published and the responses to comments, comment letters and responses to comments, is the final EIR. Was presented to the Planning Commission on December 20th, 2010. After some considerable deliberation on the project and the EIR, the Planning Commission, as you know, decided they had some concerns about it and voted not to recommend certification. But we have then, as the staff had outlined, for your consideration, an EIR that can, the final EIR that concludes the CEQA process has been done adequately and no significant impacts have been seen, have been identified for the project. So that's just a summary of our process that we've been through since 2008 to now. Thanks.
Thank you. That concludes staff.
Just want to add one more point. Also in your packet is a supplement to the staff report that contains a letter from the Regional Water Quality Control Board commenting on the treatment plant project and urging us to move forward with our project and giving their perspective on whether it's a new project or not, and also reminding us that there are consequences not to comply with the settlement agreement.
Anybody have a burning desire for the question before we open up to the public? Over here? Okay, this is a public hearing. As I asked before, if you have spoken on this subject previously, you know, there's no two bites at the apple here. I would ask that you respect that process and not speak on this subject.
Morrow Bay, I'd like to point out to you that...
You go ahead and speak, Mr. Beatty. Go ahead.
Okay. I point out to you once again that much of the information has been presented out of context. They presented some reports going back to 2008. If I remember correctly, it was sometime in the early 2010, it was sort of discovered that the design plant was had to be raised some 6-7 feet, and that just a new project. And so after that point, we should now look at it. The design presented originally by Corolla was an upgrade. After we have to remove it up 6-7 feet, move it over out of the site, it's a new plant, folks. And if I did that with my house, I go down to the director of public services and he says that's a new house, new rules. I think that our plant should also have to adhere to those. Another point, and City Council has been touted as business-friendly. I think the best thing that you can do for business in and the people in this city is seriously consider moving that plant. It sits on some of the most valuable property in this city, and can you imagine what would happen all around it? It's not just the plant, but it's the aggregate plant, and everything else becomes very valuable revenue-generating property, and I don't see where that has ever been taken properly into this design. And I also would like to thank our Planning Commission. I hope this isn't nitpicking, Mr. Mayor. They asked some questions. They're the sort of questions that I would have liked to have asked if I had been there. Why do we need a administration building that extends 30 feet above the existing level? The existing administration building is a one-story structure. Director of Public Services had a tough time answering this question. I remember his answer to this is, well, it's up there so that they can see the other facilities. I know he didn't believe that because he knows that the contemporary operator sits inside an air-conditioned room with an automated control panel with a closed-circuit TV that's watching everything. He doesn't sit around in the second floor.
No, I've got a great patience. We'll let it go, but I am asking that is the way we operate, and if you've spoken on this subject, then you have spoken. Who would like to go next? Good evening.
Good evening. Barry Brannon from Morro Bay. We just had a nice discussion about the fine job the Planning Commission did to review all the details on the solar panels and how the Planning Commission, everyone thought they did such a good job. And now we're at the wastewater treatment plant, and the same dedicated planners probably spent more effort studying the wastewater treatment plant, and yet we're going to disregard what they did. And that inconsistency is pretty hard for me to fathom. But I'd like to back up further the fact that we have a piece of property down there. The trailer park next door produces, I'm not sure the number, someone said $170,000 of revenue for the city, $170,000 a year. That may be wrong. But I can see that the wastewater treatment plant site, we need places for RV park. We need place for our tourists. When they come to town, they need a place to be. And that is such an opportune time, and not to be able to figure that revenue, that stream, and the enhancement that that would bring to the city. It seems to me that that extra revenue that would come from the plant not being there and having the city gain some revenue from it would sure pay the operating cost to pump the product. Other close nearby sites have been found. They're out of the floodplain. They're within the city limits. They're almost amazing that they weren't even looked at in the initial planning. The technology that PERC operated, their small facility footprint would fit on these other locations, and we could take the water and put it back in the aquifer, which we need. And our grandchildren are going to have to live with this. And I don't want them to look back and say, why did those people do what they did back in 2011 when they could have been dreamers and been business friendly? And I urge you to not certify this EIR.
Thank you, Mr. Brannon. Would you like to go next? Good evening. Please state your home residence, and if you're with an organization, state your organization. Thanks. Good evening, Mr. Christie. Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, honorable council members. I'm Andrew Christie. I'm a resident of Cambria. I'm the director of the Santa Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club. We have read that your staff feels the city would be, quote-unquote, within its rights to approve the environmental impact report without alternative sites outlined further, and that such an analysis could be held off until Morro Bay and Cayucos take the project to the Coastal Commission for a coastal development permit. Our advice would be don't play chicken with the California Coastal Act, even if the Regional Water Board offers to hold your coat while you do so. Yes, you would be within your rights to hold off on what your Planning Commission and Coastal Commission staff are urgently telling you to do. You could wait until after this project is appealed to the Coastal Commission to do what you need to do, but why would you do that? When you go before the Commission and they note that their staff told you that your preferred site location appears to be inappropriate for the development proposed, end quote, and you need to have a recycled water component, and they ask you where that is and what your alternative site is, and you say, we're going to look at that later, do you think they're going to say anything in response other than come back when you've got something we can feasibly permit? When the county was in almost exactly the same position you're in now with the Los Osos sewer, and coastal staff told them to pick a different site and include a recycled water plan, they did, right then. And because they did, they got a coastal development permit. If they had not complied when coastal staff helpfully pointed out the flashing red warning lights in the Coastal Act, as they have now done for you, all the county would have gotten was the denial of their permit, and county officials would have had to explain to the citizens that they played chicken with their $200 million sewer project and lost. Not a good plan. Instead, we'd suggest you make the best of the situation. Read the writing on the wall, take the Planning Commission's advice, refrain from shooting the messenger, go back and do the EIR right. Do that now, as opposed to proceeding at full speed into the wall that has the writing on it, and then telling your constituents that you were within your rights. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for coming down tonight, Mr. Christie. Piper, forgive me for using your first name. I don't remember your last. Welcome again.
That's okay. I'm Piper Riley from Los Osos. Good evening, Mayor Yates and council members.
I am also the vice chair of the San Luis Obispo chapter of the Surfrider Foundation, delivering the following comments on behalf of the chapter and its membership. We respectfully request that you heed the decision of your planning commission and move to deny the certification of the EIR and deny approval of a CDP for the proposed project. Per our written comments submitted, we believe the EIR is inadequate and should be revised and recirculated. I have revised copies of our previous comments that include legal findings to substantiate our claims, which I will distribute to your council. We also believe that the proposed project does not comply with the Coastal Act or local planning policies. The revised comment letter also provides further documentation of our assertions to this effect. Finally, because of the inconsistencies with law and policy we have mentioned, including nonconformance with CEQA guidelines, Coastal Act, and the LCP, we believe that the required findings of fact cannot be made and that, therefore, the EIR cannot be certified and the project cannot be approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Who would like, if you just give it to staff, who would like to go next? Ms. Cutter?
My name is Dorothy Cutter. During our recent election, the new council members claimed to be pro-business, and they also claimed that increasing tourism was the answer to our budget woes. The current wastewater treatment project is neither pro-business nor pro-tourism. When you have a project that will encroach on a thriving RV park and you put a smelly two-story sewer plant on a prime location on our beach, this will not attract business or tourists. If you meant what you said during the election, you can reverse the direction of this project and start over with a new location and a new project with the latest technology. The course you are on will probably bankrupt the city, so let's be adults and save money. I would like to read the mission statement, which is on the head of your agenda. It's on every agenda, and maybe you forgot what it said, so I'd like to read it. It says, the city of Morro Bay is dedicated to the preservation and enhancement of the quality of life. The city shall be committed to this purpose and will provide a level of municipal service and safety consistent with and responsive to the needs of the public. I just want to say, since the mayor made an inappropriate remark about me, I would like to clarify and say that in 2005, I recommended the abandonment of the Planning Commission at that time because they were the worst ones we ever had. Thank you very much.
Hi.
Hi. Barbara Dorr, resident of Morro Bay. We followed the Planning Commission and some of the JPA meetings and watched the process proceed. It seemed that somewhere in the process, with the flood areas, it was discovered that the plant had to be totally changed. And it seems that that's when the plant upgrade became a new plant. I would concur with everything I've heard that the EIR is inadequate as it reviews an upgrade, not a totally new plant. Additionally, much was brought up of water reclamation on, you know, many of the necessities for the new sewer treatment plant can't be facilitated on that site. If you do, you have to go into certainly possibly city-owned property, but you're continuing a bad facility in a bad location. The high school is there. The camping areas are there. A very precious park where our grandson plays soccer and is involved in other things. This is a very nice area that should be continued. It's coastal dependent. Coastal dependent uses should go in, not sewer treatment plants. The man earlier mentioned $170,000 a year in lease revenues from Morro Dunes. We used to stay there. We had our trailer there for a couple of years, and it's a wonderful place to stay. But the money, the $170,000 that possibly comes in from a lease, is nothing compared to what all those RVers spend every day they're visiting in this community. So to lose that would just really be a shame. After listening to the Planning Commission, they asked very good questions, especially in the alternative sites. One site was looked at, and I hate to say it, but on Highway 1, a scenic highway, next to a senior complex, a convalescent home. I mean, show me that on a matrix, and I'll say, oh, let's not even review that. It's not an appropriate site to look at. Alternative technologies were looked at. You've made it appear that sites have been looked at. There probably are a lot of other sites in this city or in the area between Morro Bay and Cayucas that would be better locations, better serve the community. Also, I want to say when the decisions were first made to go with the secondary, move along as quickly as possible, go with the tertiary treatment, I was really proud of my community and what was going along, and very proud. And I will say that we have moved along, but let's look at the site. It's now a new
process. So, unfortunately, they rooked you for that much money then. And then they rightly came forward and said, gee, floodplain problem, we're going to have to move it. But, you know, we could just move it next door and spend maybe $3 or $4 million to raise the soil up enough. We'll eminent domain the people that live there, and voila, we can upgrade your plant. But it's not an upgrade anymore. It's a brand new plant. So that's about the time I would think that somebody creative, which you don't have with Corollo, would say, gosh, since we have chosen to bring it up to tertiary treatment, why would we not just figure out a way to move this plant inland, find a location? I'm not saying that's the easiest thing to do, but considering that you have a prime piece of real estate for the business-friendly group up there, a convention center. I've heard that for years, that Morro Bay has been looking for a convention center. Right off Highway 41, it's ideal, and it would lead to all kinds of things. You could keep your trailer camping there. You could have a clean atmosphere for kids at the high school that don't have to smell raw sewage during the heat of the day. And all it is pumping the sewage up. It's not that big a deal. Water and sewage are pumped all over this country every second of the day. So basically, once you've got your plant built up there, then you can go ahead and distribute that water to the farmers and replenish your wells if needed. You have an opportunity. Are you going to waste it by fighting to keep this ridiculous EIR that the Coastal Commission does not accept and will not give you a permit over? Or are you going to say, let's go back to the drawing board, let's find some location that we can move this plant to, let's redevelop that area into something lovely, not a sewer plant, for God's sakes. And the little story about Corollo, Montgomery Watson Harza, first Montgomery Watson Harza comes in, Corollo kind of backs them up, they come in, they get the studies, they start recommending Montgomery Watson Harza, then regional board comes in and tells you to hurry.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. McCurdy.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Always a pleasure to see you.
Members of the council. My name is Jack McCurdy, Morro Bay resident. It seems clear that the city staff has responded to the Coastal Commission criticisms of the EIR and the proposed wastewater treatment plant, but has not addressed them. In other words, it has not explained why those criticisms are not valid and why they should not be implemented. Among others, I have read the staff report on the EIR and cannot understand how it could purport to address the Coastal Commission staff criticisms. For example, on the issue of whether the proposed sewer plant is an upgrade, as the city staff insists it is, or a new plant, as the Coastal Commission staff insists it is, here is a city staff report comment, quote, "The proposed project consists of an upgrade to the wastewater facilities at the current protected site. However, there will be some relocation of facilities on the site to allow the existing facilities to remain functioning while the new facilities are constructed," end quote. Plainly, this is contradictory. On the one hand, the plan is called an upgrade and subsequently is called a new facility. How do you think that's going to go over with the Coastal Commission? One of the key recommendations of the Coastal Commission staff report was to enable a new plant to produce voluminous amounts of processed purified water for use in reviving city ground wells, which it said, quote, "would help the city meet its water supply needs and ensure water is available if and when state water is no longer available or restricted," end quote. The report acknowledged that the proposed plant would, quote, produce a large quantity of highly treated wastewater, but the vast majority of it would be disposed of through the ocean outfall into Estero Bay, end quote. This is because the water would not be treated to purified quality and therefore could not be used for a range of purposes. The capacity of the plant to produce the volume of purified water that the staff called for could be achieved later, sure, but it would cost millions more than the approximately $35 million now estimated as the cost of this new plant. That capacity should be provided at the outset of the plant's life, and as I feel certain the Coastal Commission will agree. Therefore, it is hard to believe that the Coastal Commission will take seriously these kinds of responses from the city to its staff's call for a new and different plant that would more fully meet valid community needs. Thank you.
Thank you. Who would like to go next?
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker. I am from Los Osos, and can we all say deja vu? Actually, I'd like to read a few. In the region resulted in a significant increase in inflow and infiltration, and the district's trunk sewer system and the member agencies, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano collection systems. The net result was very high influent of hitting the wastewater treatment facility on the morning of the 19th. These flows were 50% higher than any flows experienced since new INI work was completed several years ago. Typically, the plant only sees maybe 500,000 gallons of increase in INI, and this time they saw 2 to 3 million gallons for a total flow of 5 million gallons. The rain event on the 19th resulted in an influent excess of 7.4 million gallons. My point is, change the names of the agencies involved, change the names of the streets that were flooded, just those that are common in Morro Bay and Cayucas, Morro Bay Cayucas Treatment Facility, Highway 41, Highway 1, Lila Kaiser Park, Morro Bay High School, Atascadero Road. If you see my point, you need to move your sewer. You're in a flood zone. I'm also watching the Target project over on Los Osos Valley Road. They're having to raise the soil there some 7 feet due to the recent rains. They're behind schedule now, 2 months from having our Target that we're all looking forward to going shopping at. You can engineer your way to the moon. But in this case, and in the case of the Tri-W project in Los Osos, why would you? Find an appropriate site and move your sewer.
Thank you, Julie. Would you like to go next? Good evening again, Ms. Winholz.
My name is Betty Winholz, and I just want to make two quick points. But before I do, I want to clarify that my stating or being involved with the letting go of the Planning Commission back in 2005 is not inconsistent with suggesting that you come up with good reasons to let people go this time. And I did not say anything other than that. I would like to say that, as in the previous appeal where you ignored the process and it passed and denied the appeal, I feel that that's what you're doing on this project as well. You're ignoring the process. The process says that you need to follow CEQA, just as you should have in the last project that you denied. And you're not doing that if you pass it tonight. It's not about whether the local regional water board tells you to do, it's okay with them. You need to look at what the state agencies are going to do because they're the ones with the final authority. And I'm not just talking about the Coastal Commission, I'm not talking about the state water board, which both have made comments to you about changes that you need to make. And so I would hope that as ratepayers yourself, that you are putting us, the ratepayers, at the top of your list when you make this decision, that it's cheaper if you deny this and correct the problems now than send them to the state where they have to send them back and make the corrections. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to go next? Ms. Vass, good evening again.
Oh, man.
Nancy Bass, Morro Bay. I'm confused because you say I may be chastised for speaking again because I've spoken a number of times.
I said you would not be.
The JPA meeting, and I noticed that a lot of the people, dozens of people that spoke against this project as it stands, don't have a voice now. And I'm thinking that the people that are on watching us are thinking there's not much response to this, so it must be okay. And yet three of you were never at JPA meetings listening to us from the leadership position. And so can I assume that you, all three of you, have watched all those meetings and all those comments by those dozens of people, and that you'll make your decision based on all those people's input, not just the few people that come to this podium tonight? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bast. Who would like to go next? Hi.
Good evening, Steve Haney, Kaikas citizen, Kaikas businessman, 35 years in the surf industry, waterman, active person in Estero Bay. I'm in the water all the time below the designated site you're looking at. A lot of concerns. I know you're probably getting over listening to us. I kind of sense it from a lot of you guys when we get up here and we get a chance to perhaps voice ourselves, that when are you guys going to give up? When is this going to go away? Why aren't we just doing this? But Planning Commission that is the messenger, and we're going to, I heard it earlier, kill the messenger. How well said. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Hello.
Good evening. Bill Weatherford. I live with my wife, Diane, here in Morro Bay. I'd like to enlarge this issue. At the same time, keeping Morro Bay the microcosm of the issue. America is having a terrible, terrible look into the future with its infrastructures, with roads, with rails, with sewers. If we don't do this right, we'll probably never get a chance to truly right it. And this happens over and over again in our country. Now, we have a planning commission that's given us all good information. And because that planning commission was diverse and wanted to tell the truth, they did. And they're not only not being listened to, but it's off with their heads. We suffer in America from unenlightened despotism. Why do we believe in government? Why do we believe in institutions? And we don't. When we have a planning commission that says, look, here are some good things, here are some thoughts. And then we look at, yes, and here is a company that is not only questionable, that is going to be the solution for our sewer problem, and we're going to stick with them, even though they have a record of doing wrong. We are proposed with other opportunities that actually cost less. And do we really look at them and find out more about them? Are we becoming the city of Bell? My wife asked me that question last night, and I'm still thinking about it today.
Thank you so much for those positive comments. Good evening, John.
Once again, good evening, Mr. Mayor. I have to say, if we just look a little bit into the past, I recall the saying, better, faster, cheaper. That was the cry that was given out to a lot of people from Los Osos about how they could do it better, faster, and cheaper by changing the whole process over there. I believe that was about $50 million ago, not in favor of the citizens of Los Osos. This is amazing to me. I shouldn't be as amazed as I am, but the very same people that pushed the city to go on a tight, short timeline to get this project done are the very ones saying, forget about all that and let's do something different, okay? Roger Briggs, the head of the Regional Water Quality Control Board, the executive officer there, has sent a very clear letter that says, keep moving forward on what you've decided to do, what was decided by previous councils, and don't think we're joking about the timeline. I mean, he was very clear on that. As far as specifics go, I've heard a lot of comments here tonight about, oh, that valuable land down there where the sewage treatment plant is can be used for all kinds of things, a visitor center and all that stuff. The reason it's being moved is it's in a floodplain, okay? There could be 6 feet of water down there in the worst kind of flood situation. You don't put convention centers or other valuable facilities in a floodplain. That's precisely why it's being moved slightly to the south. And where it's being moved to is not the RV park. I repeat, it's not the RV park. It's the trailer parking storage area that's next to the RV park. So there's been a lot of misinformation coming out here. In closing, I'd just like to say that don't Los Osify Morro Bay. Let's not say deja vu to their experience. Grant the appeal, approve the EIR, and keep us moving forward towards a better future. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Mr. Hayes, step right up. Here's the man in charge of keeping the sewage flowing through the pipes, and we're very grateful to you and your crew for what you do for us on a daily basis. You all see the vacuum truck out there. This is the guy in charge. This is the guy who keeps us from backing up. You know, you see him down here, then you see him up there, then you see him up here. It's all to keep it flowing for us, and we're very grateful to you. And excuse me for interrupting public comment to say this, but you deserve it. So this is Jim Hayes. Good evening.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I wasn't coming. I was watching
you, so don't do it to others, and let's all be respectful to one another. Who would like to go next? Hi.
My name is Jan Romanazzi, and I'm a property owner in Cayucas, and this is my first meeting on this subject. I am as a community member, and I work in Morro Bay. Hearing lots of comments about what might happen as a result of this plan going through, what we'll be paying, you know, for our sewer bills on a monthly average. And I, as a member, I've lived in Cayucas since 1969, and I know that our, you know, the composition of our community has changed over the years. A large percentage of our homes are owner non-occupied. I just wonder about the mechanics of being involved in this decision that Morro Bay is making or attempting to make when it will affect two communities, neighbors, over the longest period. I just ask you to really consider the things that may be unsettling here tonight, please, because this is something we're going to live with, our kids are going to live with forever, we're going to be paying for. This is a time that, though it may not be cost-effective to move it, it may be the best plan. My Uncle John Van Ryan in the 50s was city attorney for the city of Morro Bay when we were putting in the power plant here, and I will always remember him saying, you know, the city had a choice. They could have had a huge camping facility, and they chose a power plant. That's neither here nor there when we have a floodplain that at some point is going to flood whatever is on it. I just ask you, a good plan is a flexible plan. Consider the options so that when the communities have to absorb the cost collectively, we feel that we've done it because we really do have the best plan, not just the easiest, most cost-effective. Thank you.
Thanks for coming down. Hi. Welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Lee Johnson. I'm a property owner at 117 Mindoro Street. My family and I relocated to Morro Bay 2 years ago from Brazil. My past career, I've had the opportunity to live and work all over the world. I've been lucky enough to be involved in many capital investment projects, including the design and construction of major distribution centers, the design and build of major port infrastructure in the U.S., Asia, and Latin America, and I even had the opportunity to provide input on the expansion of the Panama Canal. In my experience, the keys to a successful project are start with the best case long-term solution. Look at all options to ensure you're getting as close as possible to your long-term solution. Know the critical factors that will impact the long-term viability of the project, and most importantly, make sure you're doing the right thing and not the easy thing. When I look at our wastewater treatment project and the future of Morro Bay, I see the best case solution being one that allows our community to increase our available oceanfront property for business, tourism, and recreation, decreases our water dependence, and protects our community from the potential effects of natural disasters, all at a long-term cost that is acceptable. When I look at the information available for the current project, I am unable to see where the other options have been reviewed or evaluated to see what can get us close to the best case. I also do not see where the long-term impacts on business, tourism, and our residents have been included in the total cost of the project. In short, I have a difficult time seeing how the current wastewater treatment plan can be the right long-term solution for Morro Bay and Cayucas. The current plan uses our most precious resource, our oceanfront property, for a wastewater treatment plant and does not use the latest options available to secure our water independence and does not minimize the impact of a natural disaster. I strongly believe that we are doing our community and our future generations a great disservice by moving forward with the project as it stands without at least attempting to fully explore all viable opportunities that exist for a best-case solution. Witnessing the Planning Commission's discussion of this important project, I was impressed by their thoughtfulness, their intelligence, and their willingness to do the right thing. Their exemplary behavior made me proud to be a citizen of Morro Bay, and I feel fortunate to have such high-quality citizens on such an important committee. I hope the City Council has the vision and the courage also to do the right thing and not the easy thing and vote against this project as it stands. Thank you for your time.
Thanks. Thanks for coming down. Welcome to Morro Bay. Hi.
Good evening. Richard Margetson, Cayucas. As the procurer and distributor of over 900 Move the Sewer signs in Los Osos, I agree with the gentleman. You shouldn't Los Osify this project, but what you should do is you should learn from what happened in Los Osos. Montgomery Watson Harza, we talk about the inadequate EIR. It came from an inadequate project. Montgomery Watson now. If you keep circling the wagons, delaying the process, and listening to staff over outside agencies and your own planning commission, that's what's going to happen. And you may miss that window. This is your opportunity. If it ends up that that's where it has to be built, find out now. But if there's an alternative, find out now. I found it very interesting that the Regional Water Board and their threats were brought up tonight. As long as you're moving forward with the project, even if there's appeals, they won't fine you. They didn't fine Los Osos through the appeals process in Los Osos. When they started their action against Los Osos is when the recall happened and that board stopped the project. As long as it's out of your control and appeals are out of your control, they will not fine you. It sets a bad precedent. They don't want it in the paper. They already have had black eyes on other issues. They don't want any more controversy than they have to. Do it right from now.
Thank you. Good evening again.
Good evening again. Quick point. I believe it was Mr. Barta.
Just for the record, your name.
I'm sorry. It's Ann Reeves, Morro Bay. I believe it was Mr. Barta who said that part of the problem was that everybody kept saying, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. I've only been going to JP meetings for about a year, maybe a little more, and I have never heard anybody say, hurry up. What I have heard over and over and over again is please do it better. Here's an alternative, there's an alternative, there's an alternative. And it is always falling on deaf ears. So if you're behind the eight ball, it isn't the citizen's fault.
Thank you, Ann. Hi.
Richard Sadowski, citizen of North Morro Bay, former employee of the Cayuga Sanitary District. I was employed at the Cayuga Sanitary District between 2003 and 2004, and during my time there, among other things, I'm the one that calibrated the flow meters to determine how much sewage was being pumped from Cayucas. Prior to that, there was an employee by the name of Mac McCullough who was trained me in the different areas there. And when he showed me those flow meters at lift station 5, it was evident that when I went to calibrate them at the El Monte facility, they were completely inoperational. Now, I worked with Bruce Keogh in determining what the flow was there. One of the issues that were there, as we had in Cayucas, was a huge INI problem. That INI problem was, you know, somebody mentioned earlier in Oceano of four times the amount. I'm speaking. I expect you to hear.
Of course you do.
This is very important. This is a health and safety issue.
A valid complaint. Continue.
Yeah. The issues that we have with this wastewater treatment plant, I would suggest that this council read the reports that I had submitted between 2006 and 2007 regarding the collection system in Morro Bay. Now, Mr. Inns sits back there, right there. He knows very well that I tell the truth. I'm the one that calibrated those flow meters. I'm the one that also got FEMA funding. In the San Simeon earthquake of 2003, Governor Schwarzenegger labeled this area a disaster area. We were getting FEMA funding for a dilapidated infrastructure, and Morro Bay never applied for that. And regarding your collection worker, who used to work at the wastewater treatment plant, at the time I worked was a guy by the name of Dave Phillips. And as soon as I put him down as a witness to a sewer flow study that was negative deck, by the way, by your staff, he got moved to Kalinga. So if you want to address this, one of the issues, the major issues that I have with this wastewater treatment plant is its peak dry weather flow, peak weather flows. Your figures are wrong. You negative deck the sewer flow study, and now you just pick numbers out of the hat and then try to build a plant to that. So I would suggest that you follow the recommendation of your planning commission and review the EIR. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sadowski. Anybody else?
Hello. Barbara Jo Osborne, Morro Bay. I live here. And I attend.
Back to council. Everybody okay? Need a break? Okay. Okay. We're going to take a few minute break and then we'll be back. Okay, if you take our seats, we'll resume, please. Okay, here we are in the discussion phase of this process. I want to thank everybody for your comments. Who wants to begin? I'm looking at down at this end. Go ahead, Carla.
All right, well, before we start, I was just wondering if staff was going to address any of the public comment.
Well, I talked to Dennis about it. Do you want them to go through the whole thing? They kind of did that at the top of the presentation, I thought. But why don't you ask questions? Dennis, why don't you come up?
call it. Thank you.
Well, Dennis asked before if he could address, and I said, no, let's just wait and see what happens, and you've brought it up, and so I know he's got some comments written in his margins. Go ahead and address, just keep it focused on what was said.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, and City Council members. My name is Dennis Delzite. I'm the project manager, and I'm here on behalf of the project team to request approval of the conditional use permit, the coastal development permit, and certification of the EIR. We have discussed briefly the support letter from the Regional Water Quality Control Board Executive Director. Also, at the Planning Commission meeting, there was a letter addressed to the Planning Commission urging approval of the project signed by the Cayucas District Chairman. This project got where it is today as a result of many years of careful study and evaluation going back to 1995.
Dennis, respectfully, we've had a presentation on the project. If you would just address the public's comments, we would be grateful.
I'll jump right in. Okay, one of the issues brought up is the floodplain issue. The project involves demolition of the existing plant and basically construction of a new facility to meet the new requirements. The existing plant is in a floodplain, as are other structures in the general area. I'd like to point out that the floodplain issue was carefully studied, and it will result in actually improving the floodplain conditions, because a lot of the demolished structures will be removed, and there will be quite a large open space remaining after the new project is constructed. The new facilities will be constructed on fill, earth fill, approximately 5 feet higher than the existing surrounding land. There were issues brought up about whether or not this is a new project. The Regional Water Quality Control Board Executive Director addressed that issue, as well as city staff. Based upon their experience with similar projects, it's typical to demolish existing structures and build new structures in their place on the same site in a coastal environment. Examples include the city of Pismo Beach and the city of Goleta. Those projects are very similar in comparison to this one. The location, as far as zoning, it does comply with the city zoning code and meets all of the LCP and general plan requirements, so it's consistent with that as far as the existing site location. There was discussion about the flow. A more recent analysis was made of the flow, both in volume and constituency, and more accurate measurements were taken with meters to update the information, and also laboratory analysis. So we believe the information that we have as far as flow and quality of wastewater expected is better than the old information. I would like to point out also, as staff did, that the city's local coastal plan was certified by the Coastal Commission. And so the reference information that was used in the staff report is consistent with what the Coastal Commission adopted by the city and the Coastal Commission. Something that was touched on very briefly is the baseline for the CEQA document. And it does say in the staff report, I'd like to point out that the baseline shall be established under the environmental setting of the EIR, which describes the physical environmental conditions as they exist at the time the notice of preparation was published. So that's an important issue as far as the baseline for the EIR. The EIR meets all of the legal requirements of CEQA. Tom went through the procedures and outlined those for you earlier. None of the procedures were skipped. They're all consistent with everything that's required under CEQA. One thing that I don't know if it was said or not, but in the environmental impact report, there were several options that were evaluated, and the proposed project is the preferred environmentally preferred alternative, except for, of course, the do-nothing alternative. And the environmental impact report does include analysis of one project location that is off-site, the Chorro Valley site. So when compared with the other site in the Chorro Valley location, this project is environmentally preferred. There may be other comments that I may have missed, but I wanted to highlight those for you as you begin your deliberations.
Thank you. Stay tuned. Back to you, Carla.
Most of mine are going to be comments. I only have a couple questions. I've sat through the meetings along with some of the other council members here and JPA members for the last 2 years, workshops toward other plants, so on. So a couple of questions I have would be, I don't know if they'd be for Ms. Wald or Mr. Wade, but it's about the potential cost if we were to move the plant out, say, to the Chorro Valley or somewhere. You know, a lot of the concerns and comments have been made about what the ratepayers are paying right now. So if we were to move the plant and have the potential of reusing that water or selling the water to the farmers, is it enough to offset the, I think our base costs right now are going to escalate to $45 a month. So where would we be in future costs if we moved it on a monthly basis?
That's a great question and a very difficult one to answer. I'll give you a little bit of framework and a little bit of perspective if you guys will give me a minute. You go approximately, making some gross assumptions that you go, that we'll continue to share the costs of moving the project with Cayucas at a 70-30 ratio. Assuming that we would finance that cost at 4% over 20 years, which is ballpark where the SRF loan would come in at, you go, for each $1 million of additional project costs that we incur, it's going to run right about $1 a month for every homeowner. So you go, basically $1 a month for every $1 million that we spend. Roughly, you go, we could, you know, I'm sure an economist or an accountant might pick me apart a little bit and say it's actually 96.2 cents or something, but it's about $1. By way of comparison, in Los Osos, the process that they went through, the co-equal site analysis and alternative analysis in their EIR, so the process that they've just basically recently completed and gotten through, took them 2.5 years of time, and they've expended approximately $8 million in doing that. So depending on the level of effort that we chose to I don't think we would have to do the same thing they did. But you go, that's just a perspective. So that would cost about $8 per month if we copied their process. And that's just to determine which alternative site we would move it to. And then from there, you go, we would have to pick up the costs of building the lift station, piping effluent to and from the current project site. And those could vary widely also depending on the strategy that we use. Would we pump all of our effluent out there? Our peak flows can be about 8 MGD. The Chorro Valley alternative only looked at pumping about 2.6 million, and I believe that had a 500 and something thousand dollar lift station associated with it. So it just really depends. As if you want to move it, it's not that simple of a yes or no answer, or it's exactly this much. It depends on sort of the project that you would develop through that scoping process. But those costs would be significant. I would estimate, using the best kind of numbers I have, that you go, most recently Los Osos, it would add about $8 if we copied their process just to get to ground zero, plus right-of-way costs, plus land acquisition costs. You would subtract any other costs that you could recoup by either selling or reusing the
We pay $42 a month now for our sewer bill. No. 35. And where's it going? 43 out of 10. Where isn't there, we have a
Yeah, I'll speak to that too. You go, right now I think we're at 37 something. And since you go, the ultimate goal is the process was structured, but the ultimate where we land is about $45. You go, we passed our rate structure, I believe, in the end of 2007. You go, we put a 5% escalator on residential and a 7% escalator on commercial every year from 2008. Well, 2008 we took a big step. So from 2009 forward, you go, but the SRF process requires you to review your rates as you get into that. And subsequent to our passing our rate structure, there's been some case law. Rob can kind of correct me if I get this wrong. But you go, an escalating rate structure like we implemented is only good for 5 years. And so in 2012, we're going to have to come back and revisit that rate structure based on the actual project cost at that point in time in order to satisfy the SRF process as well as to meet our legal obligations under the 218. But right now we're headed to about $45 a month.
Perfect. Okay, so there's the way I see my responsibility, and I know a lot of you aren't going to agree with this, but it's to the ratepayers. This is what I hear from my fellow citizens. As mayor, keep my sewer bill as reasonable as you can. This is all, especially when $160 a month now in Los Osos has come out, and you know this has a lot of people in shock, and so we're at $37.51. We're going to go to $45.59, roughly. All right, and then there's going to be an increase in a couple of years after that. Hopefully, we're going to keep it under $50 a month. This pays for the proposed project. If we add another $50 million to move it, all right, so then that's another $50 a month just on his $1 a month per million basis, plus the $8 million to start over again, plus the land acquisition. So now are your sewer bills up to $110, $115, and you yes, it is an off the top analysis, but the point is it could double easy. And looking at Los Osos at 160, it could happen. So we're not going to have a dialogue here, please. Our responsibility, number one, is to the ratepayer. That's what I feel my responsibility is to keep the sewer bill as low as we can and to keep the increases as reasonable as we can. And that's what scares me about the moving it concept. Choro Valley, you know, it floods. Choro Valley floods. Hayashi property, I think that the people who want us to move it, if we propose moving it to the Hayashi property, first of all, we don't own the land. We don't know that the Hayashis want to sell it. Anybody who's ever been out there and put their hand in the dirt, you know, I was a farmer for 7 years of my life, which does not make me a farmer, but I do understand dirt. You certainly know our avocado growers. This is fine, rich, dark, fabulous agricultural dirt. You want us to take that prime agricultural land and put a sewer plant on it, I think you will be coming out here going, what are you thinking? This is our prime agricultural land. You want to move it up to the Chevron property? Well, again, we don't own it. It will cost us tens of millions of dollars to replumb and pump it up there. As Jim Hayes said, the whole town is plumbed for that location. This project is focused on that location. Here I am commenting, and we were done with questions. It all comes down to number one to the ratepayers. If I had my choice, do I like it on the beach? No. I mean, you know, of course we wouldn't put it there, but that's where it is, and that's what we're living with today. And you know, I have to support staff and everybody else as far as just MWH and all this kind of bashing away at the company. You know, there was another company involved here, and I saw the same kind of stuff about them. I wish every company was clean and didn't have any lawsuits and just, you know, didn't have any controversy. But I think the nature of this business, because of situations like this and Los Osos, and, of course, that's just multiplied across the country, these companies get into hot water with the public, and I'll just say it, PERC has got the same kind of background, and nobody ever mentions that, and, you know, that doesn't get down this road, you know, that's not going to be, you know, and then, well, let's do it here. What did I write down here? You know, there's always will be a better way. There'll be another way. Something new will pop up. At some point, you have to proceed, And we're this far down the road, and I am not the guy who's going to vote to stop it at this point. But I could get outvoted tonight. I don't know what's going to happen up here. So that's my view. Who wants to take it next? Go, Noah.
I would love to. Couple of things that I think need to be responded to with some statements, particularly about Lososos. I think it's very inaccurate for us to try to compare the costs in Lososos and impress upon the council and the public listening that those are likely what we would face. That project is for a community much larger than ours. It included infrastructure, complete installation of collection infrastructure, and also reclamation infrastructure. And to take those numbers and start to speculate on those here at this point in the decision is, I think, very irresponsible, and it's not accurate. And personally, that's my problem with the project that we have before us tonight. Staff and our consultants have said that this project can uphold to CEQA review and is following the letter of the law, and that's their opinion. And I know other people that are very familiar with that same law, and their opinion is that it doesn't stand up to ridicule. So that's debatable. But for me, I agree with you. I think the number one consideration and concern that we should have is for the ratepayers, and my hope is that we would make this decision looking at the long-term cost, the life cycle cost of this project, and really do proper analysis. So instead of speculating up here with numbers and ideas, we could actually look at real information and do it in a calm fashion that lets us know once and for all where our best choice for site is. And to talk about other companies and systems at this point, I think, is a distraction. It's about sites. I've seen too many red flags with this current site to feel like a decision at this point without looking at alternatives outside the Choro analysis is responsible. And when I consider the Choro analysis, I see a project option that basically involves two wastewater treatment plants. One, the existing for Cayucas, and a new plant being built all the way out in the Choro Valley for Morro Bay. And that, I mean, you could just consider that in one moment and think to yourself, that's not affordable. We're not going to be able to survive the cost of that. And so very clearly, I would move on from that. But the next step has never been taken by our council, by the JPA, which is to cautiously and carefully do a rough screening of alternative sites and think about what are the main issues, like the Planning Commission has suggested to us, that we want to evaluate these sites by. Take a moment and think, do we really want to compare these sites as with our existing plants and give the existing plant all the impacts that it already has? I don't think so. I'm thinking economically and for the long-term vision of this community, we have the responsibility to think about this site as its highest use, not as a wastewater treatment plant. The suggestion was made that this is just like Pismo's plant. That is not accurate, in my opinion. Pismo's plant is not next to their peer, which is their pride and their joy. Ours is. I think about the history of Shell Beach and their sewage treatment plant that was there at that site that we now call sewers, the surf spot. And that was taken and moved from the coast and consolidated into Pismo, as far as I understand. And we have that choice here and opportunity here for once and for all. Because once we make this decision to go forward with this project, or we think we're making the decision to go forward with this project at the current site, and let's say we get through the Coastal Commission and we get a permit, which I would be shocked if we do, and we build this project, over the course of the next 20 to 25 years, we're going to be completely renovating our infrastructure of the collection system, and as we all have said, we're going to be installing some sort of reclamation infrastructure. So those two major investments in infrastructure from this point going forward basically lock us into that site for lifetimes going forward. And I'm very uncomfortable to try to say, based on speculation, that we've made the best choice and that this is going to stand up in our legacy for those future generations that are going to look back on this decision. So I have watched the Planning Commission deliberate on this now multiple times. They started with the draft EIR hearing. They aired some concerns. Some of the commissioners came to our floodplain analysis meeting where the floodplain was was revealed to be a major concern, and it was suggested by many members of the public that, hey, this is the moment to look outside the box. Let's step back, pause, and take that opportunity. We've moved forward from there, but I think right now we have to take this chance and look at the alternative.
We're still not dead in the water as far as looking for other sites. And Noah says that we're kind of locked in, but that's not what I understand. We're not. So I think we have time to keep moving ahead. And yet, hey, I made a kind of a funny little remark. I says if Moses comes down and says, hey, boys, move it over here, well, then we will stop and do it immediately. But right now, there hasn't been a solid other place to move it, and I believe we should just move on with this project, keep our eyes open and ears open, and maybe something else will pop up, but I don't think we should stop this project at all.
First, I feel that I really have to clarify something that was said earlier during the public hearing. I have attended JPA meetings as the chair of the Planning Commission. I started years ago with Sewage Treatment 101 from Dylan Wade, who I consider a well-trained, well-educated engineer. So I've put my time and energy and effort into it. I brought my PERC water bottle today. I went down to PERC. I looked at PERC. And contrary to some opinions, I researched. I even talked to a newspaper writer down there who had some very interesting information about some of the things they've done. So I don't think we need to throw stones at MWH. I think those things happen in industry. And I'm sorry that it's that way, but it is. PERC does not have a water reclamation project as part of their proposal that they brought to us. They used to dump the water in the creek. They're no longer allowed to do that. They have huge percolation ponds out there where the water goes. So that's not a perfect system. That's not the answer. Is there a perfect system? I don't know. I know that where our plant is now and where we're going to remodel this plant and upgrade it is in an industrial zone. Another thing I heard tonight was people saying, oh, but it's a floodplain. Then the next thing they would say was, but it's such prime tourist facility. What, we want to build a tourist facility in a floodplain and drown all of our tourists? That doesn't make good sense. You know, I've watched, and I'm sorry, I'm getting a little upset, because I get tired of being told we're not listening and we're not going to these meetings and we're not paying attention. I have been paying attention. I've worked hard to get educated on this project. And the people I heard tonight are the same people I heard at the JPA meeting, at the same people who were at the draft EIR, the same people who were at the hearing. You're not a new group. You haven't brought any new information to us that would say to me, let's not do this plant. It's my turn. You had your turn. I didn't interrupt you. And I didn't laugh at you.
That is the double standard.
That is inappropriate.
When you stand before us, we do not laugh at you. We do not make fun of you. And we ask for the same in return. So please.
I'm sorry for you. Okay, in the long term, I think this plan for the plant is set up for reclamation when it becomes feasible. This is long-term planning. We've talked about long-term. I just mentioned the contradictory opinions I've heard back and forth about the current site. I think these other sites were evaluated starting back in 2003. This is not a new plan, a new project. It's not day one. It's 8 years down the road, give or take a few months. Speculation I don't think it's speculation. I think we have some good, firm numbers to look at. And I also was very appreciative to receive the letter from the California Regional Water Control Board, the Central Coast region, not just a little local group, but the state of California Regional Water Control Board that said, do it, let's get it done, because if you don't, we're going to start fining you. And in addition to all the other reasons I think we need to go ahead with this, that kind of seals the deal for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Yates. I'm probably going to be all over the board a little bit here for a minute, so indulge me. For starters, ESA, I appreciate the way when... when I looked at comments in the EIR provides substantial evidence that locating the treatment plant at a new location would not eliminate any significant impacts, but would rather introduce new potentially significant impacts at the location. The draft EIR concludes upgrading the plant at the existing location presents fewer impacts and would likely cost much less. The property where it's located at right now was purchased over 50 years ago for the sole purpose of putting a wastewater treatment plant in with the room for expansion. And that was before there was a coastal commission. That's where everything goes. You heard Mr. Hayes say that. I agree. And based on the cost that it would be to move it to another site where we don't have infrastructure, I see that that financial hardship passed on to our ratepayers would more than double where we're at now or thereabouts, and I can't with a good conscience put that on the ratepayers here. So I'm going to support the rest of the council here.
Couple of things. I didn't intend that we completely stop this project, and I don't think any of the speakers did. What I was speaking towards was actually utilizing the information that we have now for the existing project and actually go out, continue the project by looking at these alternatives and actually comparing them and taking a look. So that has not been done in a way that I think is sufficient for this magnitude of a project. Vital infrastructure is something that I think we need to talk about because there are some risks at that site, obvious risks, and risks that weren't around during the time of the LCP or recognized during the time of the development of the LCP, such as sea level rise. So we're at this point where we're talking about infrastructure that is vital to the operation and success of our town. I think to myself, what happens if one of these events comes to pass where instead of, in the case of Oceano, it becomes a major problem for a couple of days, we have weeks on end where our wastewater treatment plant is in operation. What happens to our town then at that point? Is that risk something that we're willing to take, especially given the number of risks that stack up against this site? And are there other sites that would remove us from that? And what is the value of that to us? We haven't been able, we're not going to be able to answer that question if we move forward at this point. And that's a major difference between some sort of commercial development. If we develop commercially there, something that would go under similar ridicule, we would essentially have a commercial development that could be impacted, not a piece of vital infrastructure. So that's a major difference. And basically, the other thing that I didn't get a chance to bring up earlier that I heard during the Planning Commission hearing was the concern that right now we have the project on a footprint that, as a board and a JPA body, we've directed our staff to minimize our extent of use for that site. And multiple times at the public hearing with the Planning Commission, we heard from staff that, and through the questioning, that basically this current footprint of developments is not going to accommodate full build-out of the project, likely, or reclamation infrastructure. So the comment at the meeting was, we have lots of extra space down there. We can expand if necessary. My question number one would be, we'd have to go back to the Coastal Commission and open this process back up again. And, you know, the size of this information and stack, I would hate to try do a project where we knew we were going to be picking up this much information and putting the community through this much turmoil. Plus, at the same time, I doubt we're going to be permitted for that, and we're exposing ourselves to even further risks from the floodplain and so on. So the sprawl concern for me is very concerning, and I don't like the idea of thinking that we have essentially unlimited space down there for the wastewater treatment plant when in so many instances in our guiding principle documents, it's considered a secondary entrance to town, and I think it should be.
Anybody else? Carla?
Well, I'm going to go back to the EIR where it's listing an off-site recycled water distribution system could be considered a separate project. So you would look at it off-site, and it's going to be a separate EIR review and in accordance with CEQA. So you don't have to have it all at one site. You can have your reclamation aspect if the ratepayers are wanting to step up at some point and do that. It doesn't have to all be in one location.
I understand that. I just think at that point, then, we're talking about building infrastructure off-site for reclamation, and likely that's going to involve the very pump station that we're concerned about an alternative site for the whole package. Would we'd be basically, we'd be taking on those costs and not receiving the benefit of actually having that site available for economic
To make it affordable for our citizens. I don't think it's a great idea to necessarily keep throwing good water out into the ocean. Yet that's our option. That's what we have as a choice. I also have to disagree with you about this being a wonderful entrance to town. If you look at it, you have a closed skate park. You have two RV parks on that street. You have a cement plant. You have the city yard. You know, I don't think this is a jewel of the Central Coast that we want to pull the wastewater treatment plant out of so that we can make something beautiful down there. I think it is what it is, and it's fine. And this new design looks really good. It's going to improve the look of what we have. It'll still be industrial, but I think it's going to... And provide more space. There is more space. I'm sorry that we're going to lose our composting area as a gardener, but you have to give up some things to get what you need. And I'm still going to support the project.
Have we concluded? You want me to make the motion? Somebody want to make the motion?
One last comment. All right. And that's regarding the reclamation element. And we all know that basically the state is requiring reclamation, and that plan has got to be developed. That's writing's on the wall for a state that's just basically going dry for most of our cycles for the rainfall seasons that we have. So it's pretty clear that we're going to be doing some reclamation project within this plan at some point. And my feelings are every dollar that we can save on this front end is actually allowing us to get to reclamation in an affordable way. And if we move forward with this tonight, we're basically going to be running up against the wall that members of the public have described, which is the Coastal Commission, and we're going to end up right back at this point with the Coastal Commission's requirements of an alternative analysis and so on. And I just find myself wondering why we don't take this and do it now while it's in-house and we have the control. And we're going to be losing control by going to the Coastal Commission and getting those requirements placed on us. So I find myself a little confused by this decision, and I'm hoping we don't make this choice tonight.
Okay. I'm going to conclude this, and I'm going to finish this by making a motion. I don't think that the Coastal Commission can require us, you may think so, but I'll disagree respectfully, require us to recycle. But just quick history, rewind. Bob Enns and I were there, still on. We were on the board in 1995. Our joint board voted to start down the path for tertiary treatment. The only reason we started down the path for tertiary treatment was so that we can eventually recycle the water. If we have to back up now and go to secondary treatment because of controversy and what's going on here, it's not recyclable then. I mean, the whole idea, the only reason we have to build a brand new, upgrade the plant, is because it's different technology. We can make secondary treatment happen with what we've got. We don't want to go there. This is not a threat. I don't see us going down that path. Eventually, we're going to recycle the water. Will we stop putting water in the ocean forever and ever? Well, no. It doesn't matter how many storage tanks we build and how many creek beds we have and how much agricultural land we have, but the day the rains come and it rains for a month and the land is saturated and the rivers are saturated and the storage tanks are full, it's going to go out the pipe. What we want to do and what we feel our responsibility is today is to put cleaner quality wastewater out there. This state, up and down this state, Pismo, all these people we're talking about, where do you think they put it? They put it out their outfalls, out and into the ocean. Often, more often than not, it's only secondarily treated. So we want to move to a higher stage than that, and we eventually all realize we need to reclaim the water. That doesn't mean we can do it right now. It's an affordability issue. But we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready. So that said, I am going to move that we adopt the facts and findings as presented in Attachment 3 of the staff report before us, dated January 11, 2011, and adopt Resolution Number 7-11 and make the findings for approval of the Conditional Use Permit and Coastal Development Permit by adopting Resolution Number 8-11 and certify the Morro Bay Cayuga Sanitary District's Wastewater Treatment Plant Upgrade EIR and conditionally, and we have conditionally approved the Coastal Development Permit CPO-339 and Conditional Use Permit UPO-307. May I hear a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Municipal Code regarding council meeting time and date. Introduction and first reading, and I'll turn that over to City Attorney Rob Schultz.
Good evening. This matter is before you tonight based on your direction to move the council meetings from Monday night to Tuesday night. That will require an ordinance change. The ordinance change that I have made for you for your review will put it to a date designated by you in your resolution. If it's approved tonight for first reading, then I will come back with the second reading at the same time with the resolution that will be put into your council policies and procedures. And with that, I'll answer any questions, or you can approve for first reading the title and number only.
Okay.
Did make that change.
Do we have a 10 o'clock rule? What's the rule? 10 or 11?
11.
11. Great. Okay. Questions for Rob over here? Questions for Rob over here?
I don't have a question, but I have a comment.
All right. Let's start with comments then.
Okay. My only comment is I would appreciate if we did something that really highlights the move to Tuesdays, at least for an interim basis. I know most people are aware that we now are on Tuesdays, but quite a few, I would assume, are habit-oriented and ready for a Monday meeting. So something simple I thought we could do is at the top of our agenda, we don't have an actual day of the week written there. We have the date.
Your mic's messed up.
My mic's messed up?
It seems like sometimes you're coming through. Am I hearing this up here? Yeah, your mic. Go ahead. We'll get that picked.
Well, so basically, I'd like if we added the day of the week and maybe have it in bold or call it out some way. So, and then definitely have it continued on the website just for the next couple of months, so we don't miss people just because we've shifted the time.
That's fine. What we have before us is the municipal code. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Public hearing.
I'm sorry. Public hearing.
Thank you for. I'm sorry, but you're about the fifth one to jump in.
And
you're
I'm
a little
sorry
too late.
Too.
It's okay. All right, this is a public hearing. If any of you would like to address us on this, step right up. Anyone?
My name is Betty Winholtz, and I would like to address this topic. I find this request so unusual that I went online to research it and see what other cities do. There's actually a number of companies that actually update and write codes for different cities. It became very apparent very quickly after going through dozens of municipal codes that all of them keep that in their code. And I think that's for stability. To turn it into a resolution allows it to be changed, in essence, arbitrarily at the whim any month, because a resolution only has to be voted on once, where if it's in the Muni code, you have to have two hearings, you have to notice the public. And it's a way for public to stay, to know and have a reliability of what's going on with their government. So I'm not in favor of this change to a resolution. If you choose to pursue changing it to Tuesday, I think you should keep it in the municipal code. there is no law that says you have to, certainly. I tried to find that out. But it certainly is by community acceptable practice to keep it in the municipal code. I would also like you to ask the city attorney to rule on whether your meeting tonight and your future meetings are legitimate until this municipal code is passed, because you haven't done that yet. And so I'm wondering how that fits with the fact that you haven't changed the municipal code and yet you've changed the date to meet without it being passed as a rule.
Anyone else? Anybody? Then I will bring it back to council. Maybe I can explain some of this, Ms. Winholtz. We did move to change these meetings until we get this changed officially. We consulted the city attorney. I'm sure he will speak to this in a moment. I'm sure that this meeting is legitimate. It's not like a wedding without a license that you have to do over. This meeting happened tonight, and this is real. This is a city council duly noticed meeting, and it's a true meeting. I am probably the guy behind this for two reasons. One was the brouhaha that surrounded the non-occurrence of the Joint City Council Planning Commission meeting, which was in the Muni Code, and we all recall what happened there. I didn't want to see this community go through that again. And the second thing is, it has been a goal of mine to cut down the municipal code. Our municipal code is this size, 8.5 by 11, and it is this thick. This is Morro Bay. It used to be a smaller book, maybe a smaller print. You know, and I'd like to see an inch trimmed out of it anyway. We don't need our council policies and procedures in our municipal code. This solves it. Isn't that, Rob?
The government code requires you to set your regular meetings by ordinance or by resolution. So there is an actual government code that lets you set it by resolution. So there is no legal requirement to have it in your ordinance. I did look at hundreds of it, as I do all the time when I'm looking in ordinances that we're reviewing. A majority do spell out exactly the place and manner in their ordinances, but there are ones that do it just the way we're doing it tonight, the closest being Pismo Beach does it this way. So it's perfectly legal to do it the way you're doing it, and it will streamline it and allow for easier changes to be made later if need be.
All sounds positive to me.
Can I follow up with another question?
You may.
Ms. Winholtz's question about tonight's meeting, do you have any serious concerns about
it? It's been properly noticed.
Okay. Anything else, George? Anything on this side? Then could I hear a motion adopting ordinance number 565 by title only? Did I say that right, Jerome? Okay. Somebody say so moved.
So moved.
Somebody say second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Do we need to read a title? Go ahead.
We do.
This is ordinance number 565, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Morro Bay to amend section 2.08.010 of the Morro Bay Municipal Code.
Thank you so much. Okay, D1, Ms. Luker.
Mary Yates.
Yes.
May I ask, can we do the consent calendar so that...
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, we're at the consent calendar then, as per Ms. Borchard's request. Does anybody want to pull any items? I would like to pull one, if I can find it. A1. Anyone else? Then hearing none, can I hear a motion approving items A2, A3, A4, A5, A6, A7, A8?
So moved.
So moved. Seconded. That's all right.
Motion by Carla, second by Nancy. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. I just have a correction to the minutes for the meeting of December 13th, page 11. I can give this to you when we're done, Jamie, if it would make it easier for you. Okay, under E1, if you would strike the words located at 725 Embarcadero Suite 105. So this should read simplify, and add the word after licensing, the word requirements. So it should read simplify the arcade licensing requirements by removing the condition requiring annual review and approval by the City Council. Everybody okay with that change? That's what we said, I said that night. Everybody cool? Then I'll move for approval of item A1. May I hear a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we're back to D1, Andrea.
Item D1 is the annual City Council meeting schedule for 2011 that we have provided to you. It's similar to last year's, having our regular meetings the second and fourth Tuesdays, with the exception of July 26th, November 22nd, and December 27th, which are traditionally canceled second meetings of those months. We've also suggested for your review a couple of different dates for your joint City Council Planning Commission meeting, and those suggested dates are February 22nd at 5 p.m. and September 13th at 5 p.m. Those are both normal Council Tuesday meetings, and you would meet an hour prior to your meeting. With that, I would turn over to you for discussion and determination on how you want to handle that.
Discussion? Carla?
No.
Nancy? No discussion. Then I'll listen to a motion, or I'll make it myself. Anybody want to make a motion? All right, then I'll move that we accept staff's recommendation and adopt the proposed meeting schedule for the calendar year 2011 as outlined in the staff report of January 11, 2011, item D1.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. And here we are at D2. Okay, I think I've made my points. I think there's been some things said that are, you know, not certainly where I'm coming from. I don't take exception, and nor do I say anywhere in my report, to the decision that the Planning Commission made. Planning Commission, and I didn't feel any support for that, and I just let it drop. I didn't want to fight a battle I didn't think I could win, which is kind of how I feel right now. So I let it drop until the EIR meeting, and that frustration prompted me to share with them my feelings that, you know, these guys, in my opinion, have to go, and I've written my report, and I own this, and I'm out in this limb all by myself, and I'm taking the responsibility for this. There's nobody behind this, and nobody I've discussed this with. Here we are. I saw them as out of control, or what I've called a runaway freight train. I think they sat up there that night and acted like a city council. I'll use the word arrogant. I think they acted arrogantly, and I'm not talking about their decisions or their feelings about the wastewater treatment plan. I'm talking about their behavior. And the two things that got me the most were, one, our city attorney getting up, giving them advice that they had the EIR in front of them, the words spoke for themselves, they should be discussing them amongst themselves, and they blew him off. And I brought this up today. Mr. McCurdy rebutted that comment on the radio that he's seen this many times here, us ignore the advice of the city attorney. Well, in my 6 years as sitting as mayor, I don't ever recall doing that. Not publicly. Privately, we disagree. But if the city attorney publicly gave us advice, I have never seen, I have never witnessed a city council person or a mayor looking the city attorney in the eye saying, we don't agree with you, you know. Basically, they said, you know, you don't count, we're not interested, and, you know, Mr. Schultz had to basically resign from his position. I don't mean quit, you know, resign from trying to make his point, because he wasn't getting anywhere. That was the big one. That was the big one with me. That was grounds right there. That was grounds right there. The other one, and I will say, use the word arrogant again, was they passed 4-1 to send a letter to the Regional Water Quality Control Board, you know, asking or inferring for, you know, an extension. I did say Coastal Commission in my report, and that was an error. I meant Regional Water Quality Control Board. They had no right to do that. None at all. They could have moved to recommend the City Council write a letter, recommend staff write a letter. But the Planning Commission, thinking that they can write a letter to a state agency, whoa, that's out of control. So I basically hang my hat on why I'm trying to do this on those two things. This is their attitude. Yes, while it was still legal and it was talked about, it was never talked about formally, but, you know, it was talked about. It was... You know, if we put three people on, then they'll keep them in check. And, well, we've seen this before. If you put three people on, it only takes one to kind of go the other way. And then they've they're back in control, and they can do what they want to do. And I know a lot of you don't agree with me on this, and that's fine. We can certainly agree to disagree. It's not that I want to clone Planning Commission. I don't have the power. Remember, when we appoint planning commissioners, it takes the majority vote. I don't have the ability to say, okay, you're going to be planning commissioner, you and you. It's I don't have that power. But I think we need a clean sweep. We did it in 1994, and it was pointed out on the radio today. Actually, it was said, the words were said, the last time this was done was 1994. And that's not true. The last time this was done was 2005, January of 2005. And that's only 5 years ago. This city council fired the Planning Commission. And many of the people who spoke against what I'm trying to do now maybe didn't speak then, but I know you were in favor of that. So there's a double standard going on here. We know what it is. But it's not about this political philosophy with me. It's about behavior and how they act. And I don't see them changing. I don't think we can scold them. I don't think we can have a joint City Council and Planning Commission meeting and for us to say, for instance, you're not an architectural review board. May I have consensus on that? I get two more people and they say, yeah, we don't want them to act as an architectural review board of the Planning Commission. I said it publicly during the campaign. I think they nitpick projects to death. I mean, we saw one with ABBAs down there. I mean, we were even hearing, we'll move the chair from here to here. I mean, it was getting into musical chairs. It goes too far. And I have other reasons here. I'm sure everybody in the room has read them. Why I want to do it, but I think I've said enough. And I don't know what's going to happen tonight. And if I lose, I'm going to do my very best to work with these guys and the other commissioners that we appoint and move on. But I think we would be better off with all new people. George.
Well, I guess I can just tear up my notes. Bill just about covered everything. You know, politically, we can do an easy thing here. We can just let this thing slide and let them all sit in their positions. But I don't think the time's right now for letting things slide. We can't get things done that way. So I'm just going to go right to it. I'm just going to sit right here and say... I'm asking these people that are sitting up with me to consider letting these people go off the Planning Commission. I'll see if I'm missing something here. But I know this is a tough thing, but it's a decision I think we ought to make. We had a critical time right now, and we need to work together. We need to
to have these people working with the city council. We all need to get together and get on the same page. So that's about all I can say.
Ladies, who wants to go? Sorry, I was just making a choice. Do you want to go next?
Sure.
All right. Well, thank you for figuring that out.
So I was pretty disappointed to see this on the agenda, particularly because we hadn't had any public conversations about this, and we have an extensive number of issues on our future agenda items, and this jumped right on there. Without really, as far as I am aware, any outreach to the rest of the council to know whether this is something we want to discuss and take action on. That's just one of my disappointments with this report. I'd like to start with a question to Mr. Schultz about that exchange that took place at the Planning Commission meeting, where you asked them to stop asking those questions and, you know, through some dialogue, it became clear, you know, they really seemed to need to ask those questions to our staff, who was wearing two hats, and it was a confusing situation. But was that legal advice you were giving them, or was that more of your opinion about where they were going? And once they clarified themselves, you felt like they could continue, which you said continue on, and it turned out it worked out.
Well, I said continue on because it was falling on deaf ears. Robert's Rules of Orders and our council policies and procedures go outline exactly the process that takes place in a public hearing. Commissioner Diodati was the chair for that meeting and wasn't the normal chair, so I thought I'd help him on and let him know that we had gone past public comment, we had gone past questions, they had begun to deliberate on the project. And once you start to deliberate on the project should then stay at the board level, and it shouldn't then go back to questions. And they were going back from questions to deliberating, and basically the deliberation process was involving staff, and that's what I was having a problem on, is that it was now becoming a deliberation problem with staff. So I was trying to focus them on Robert's Rules of Order and our policies and procedures, which outlines the steps you take. You know, you have your staff report, you go to public comment, you have questions, and then you begin your deliberation process. And they were skipping back and forth, but they wanted to do it that way, so I stepped back.
Yeah, and I guess what I saw, and I think we all saw, was a really complex hearing, especially on the part of our staff and for our planning commissioners as well. So. And that hearing was based on the largest infrastructure project, capital investment we've ever made in the city. So I'm willing to give the Planning Commission some leeway in those questions, particularly because I felt like they weren't disrespectful of staff. They were asking tough questions about an important project, and I felt they were very level-headed. I look at their experience, each one of them, and particularly Mr. Diodati, his experience in Los Osos, delivering major funds to that project and so on. I think to myself, these are the type of people that I want to see on a planning commission. They're independent thinkers. They're going at this from a perspective of, I feel that they actually deserve an apology. Also, the question about, well, this has happened before, and then it happened again, therefore it's okay, and we need to do it again. And to me, that's just false. That's a bad philosophy to follow through with, and I just have to wonder, well, when does it stop, and what does that mean to our community to be basically expecting a drastic change back and forth? And how do we actually ever generate some consistency and carry over between these bodies? And really, ultimately, the importance of that is so that we can actually move forward and have progress. When you have different bodies that are changing extremely between each election, it doesn't solve anyone's goals for us. And really, it's just, for me, I wonder, for the sake of what are we going to base this decision on, past actions that seem to, you know, I'm sure that people felt offended by it, and people said things and so on, but I'd like to think that we could go forward and govern from the perspective of the here and the now and the future and try to let go of some of those pains and burns that we have from past experiences. And, you know, just as far as an example of what this Planning Commission has done is the recent solar project at the high school. We all seem to appreciate their recommendations and time and thoughtfulness that they put into that. And yet we're saying that we don't think they do good work. And to me, I just think we're kind of trying to control this too much. And in a way, I just wonder, is this really worth the political and public ridicule that we're all coming under because of this action to basically replace two quality members of our Planning Commission that come from really important backgrounds for what we're trying to do?
Well, I'm going to answer this. You've been very eloquent, and I hear your point about why would people, you know, want to serve. But, you know, I hear the other side of that. I hear people who have applied who don't want to serve with certain people. So it cuts both ways. You know, having been through this once myself and witnessed it another time, whoever is on the firing end is offended. That's part of the nature. I know John Barta was offended, Ken Vestafelt et al., you know, when they were. I remember in 94 Bernie Melvin and others standing up before they were offended. It's part of the, you know, I'm sorry, but if you're fired, you're going to be offended. You keep coming back to the politics of the decision, and it's not about the politics of the decision. It's about, you're talking about, you know, owing people an apology. There's people I can think that they sat up here. I talk about them putting people through the meat grinder that they should apologize to. So, you know, it all depends on what side of the looking glass you're on and how you're seeing it and how you're viewing it. This is, again, it's not about politics with me. It's about how you treat your fellow applicants and your fellow applicants, you know, applicants before you. And I'm going to finish this. No, you're not going to interrupt. You are so on the edge. You're trying. And you've offended me. So, I mean, I've got a little emotion in this now, too, between us. And, you know, telling me that I should apologize, that's offensive. I think anybody being told you should apologize is offended. Because we see it differently. And I want you to appreciate that we see this and we can see things differently and not attack one another because of we see things differently. This is how I see it. I stand by it. You want to rebut that? Then we're going to let the girls talk.
I would love to. I don't say you should apologize lightly, but when you accuse someone of a conflict of interest in a document like this without any evidence, that's a very serious accusation. And someone just said it borders on slander, and I think it does. And that, to me, warrants my concern there and my statement, because I think it's something that this person's there working for us in the community, and there's no reason that I can see where you could say they're saying this because of some alternative interest that they have. And I just think that you have done something as a public official with the microphone that, as a responsible member of the council, I can't condone. I can't allow.
You're repeating yourself now. Okay. You've made your point.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Ladies. Nancy?
Okay. I have a little bit different take on this, and I've written my notes out to make sure I don't forget any of my what I consider very important points. And so I'm going to read it to you. I understand probably more staff than after they were off TV, they'd go and apologize. That's not acceptable. Secondly, we're not an architectural review committee, which kind of leads to the nitpicking thing. We have no view ordinance in Morro Bay, and we don't have a color code for private homes. Also, there are other agencies which have power and jurisdiction over our decisions. For example, the state and regional water boards, the state park, the coastal commission, and the alcohol beverage control board. They've chosen on several occasions to ignore the fact that this is the case. Finally, and most importantly, applicants and staff need to be treated with respect. It is fine to disagree with the project, yet it should be done in a professional manner. Recently, very recently, this has not been the case. Commissioners need to find the time, and this has not happened, to go in to ask staff questions before a project comes to the public. Asking questions and clarifying points while on TV can be very valuable for the public. Yet commissioners need to be aware of their basic information in staff reports before the meeting starts. Verbally attacking staff on TV is never acceptable. I've seen that happen too many times, not just at the last meeting. All this being said, I will still vote against replacing the entire Planning Commission at this time. I look forward to having some outstanding applicants for the new commission and would not be against possibly appointing alternatives if it seems appropriate at the time. I hope that the interview meeting agenda, this is my recommendations, will include the possibility of appointing alternates. I would also like to require the new and remaining members of the commission to get themselves educated regarding their roles and responsibilities. Then we must go forward and evaluate the Planning Commission. I've said by our first meeting in March, but I'd like to see it by at least the first meeting in April at the latest. These evaluations need to be clear and specific. This gives them 3 meetings after their appointments to at least start getting the training they need and show us their attitude about public service and working with our staff. Thank you. I think we need to be specific in our direction from council and that they hear what we're saying. That's it.
Carla.
I echo that. No, I was going to make it easy. I Councilmember Johnson and I have talked on this issue since we're all Brown Act and following the rules. And one of the things I have with me tonight, just for council and or staff, is the League of Cities offers a, like the Mayor's Academy Nancy will be attending, also offers one for planning. For the planners, and I feel that we're partially to blame for their lack of knowledge and them challenging the concerns with them challenging the city attorney show that they don't have the training. We didn't provide it. We asked somebody to sit on an advisory body to make huge land use decisions in our community without providing training. And as Councilmember Johnson said, when she was on first appointed, they had training, whether it's in-house or we send them to a training institute. We need to be responsible to make sure that they have the tools to be successful for us. So I share, as a city council, part of the responsibility for their lack of knowledge. I feel that removing the remaining two planning commissioners would be divisive in our community, and I don't have to necessarily agree with them. I probably don't agree with a lot of some of the comments on land use issues. I agree that they've nitpicked some projects. ABBA's was a prime example that you brought up with the chairs and things. I think it goes too far, but I believe in diversity, and I like the idea of the potential of possibly having two alternates. And that being said, not because I plan on replacing the two that are there if they don't do what we want, but that we've seen over the last year or two commissioners quitting for personal reasons, health reasons. We've had 3 or 4 commissioners resign over the last 2 years that I've been here. So I wouldn't be opposed to, if there are qualified candidates, having the possibility of an alternate or two alternates in case we have some changes like that. But that being said, I'm going to be in agreement with Councilmember Smuckler and Councilmember Johnson.
Okay. Well, then I'm outvoted on this, so I'm withdrawing this item.
Any future agenda
items? Future agenda items. Sorry. I am frustrated, and I apologize for
That's
that.
That's all right. We all get frustrated.
We will address this.
No.
We have never... Don't go there. Okay, I'm not going to go there.
We won't go there.
All right. Future agenda item?
I have nothing.
I have one that came up in the public comment at the beginning, and that's this question of smoking while you're picking up food at a fast food restaurant. Is that something that anybody wants to talk about and look at? We don't smoke in restaurants.
I would refer him to the County Tobacco Coalition Board.
Oh, that's
for
a good idea.
Guidance.
It sounded like something that we should talk about. Are you suggesting that we refer the person that brought it up in public? But you're open to bringing that back if it looks like there's something we could do, which I am as well.
Yeah, I'd like to see them go through that system first, that process first.
Okay.
Okay.
And
then if it needs be, we'll bring it back.
You can try anytime you want.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I am going to bring forward a future agenda item for next meeting to place a 45-day moratorium on wind generators on roofs in town, because this is the big coming controversy now. And I know Rob doesn't like us to say anything, just make our declaration, but you have to say a little something to get some support. We are getting complaints over the house on Estero. You know, I look out at my ocean view, and I imagine five propellers there in the middle of my ocean view, and I'm not so sure, you know, I would like it. I'm not to be seeking to be a proponent or an opponent of these things right now. I know the guy who's doing them, and I'm, as we say, I'm pro-business, and I hate to, make any move that's not business-friendly, and this is a potential unbusiness-friendly move, but I think we need to hear from this community. If this community wants, windmills, five windmills on every roof all over town and in everybody's view, then fine, I'll go along with it, But we need to hear from the community whether they're okay with this or not. So I'm declaring this for next agenda, and I would look for support on this.
No future agenda.
You don't want it. Let him have them.
Let him do it.
Let him do it.
Oh, you're on yours.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. That would be a good idea to put on the whole.
Can I? Yeah, you need to talk in your microphone.
I'm tired too.
Okay. Can I have a third? Okay. It's on next time. Now we are adjourned. Dope, I forgot something else.
I'd like to.
I'm so sorry. And I forgot George, too, so forgive me.
Go ahead, George.
I've already said.
You done? Okay. We have received an email requesting about discussion for a backup generator conversation. From what I understand, we haven't committed either way as a board whether we want to have that conversation. In conversation with Ms. Luker, it sounded like the board did. But then at the same time, I'm hearing that we didn't. So I'm wondering if that's something that we can bring back for a conversation before it's approved and the purchase is made. This is the backup generator for City Hall.
Here's somebody behind this.
I had questions, but I took them to Ms. Luker, and she answered them. So I'm fine.
And I'm okay with it. Carla?
Yeah.
You only need two, yes.
You with him?
George.
Like I said, I'm tired.
You've got to. Give it up.
Yeah, you're on your own, though. You write your own report.
And well, it seems kind of pointless if we're not going to have any votes.
Are you withdrawing it?
Well, what's the point of talking about it? So the second thing is we're hearing a lot of news from the state and the state budget, and I'd like to request that we get an update when you see it be timely and there's more concrete information. I know there's probably going to be a lot of back and forth up there, but when you see a point where there's some really clear implications for us locally, some sort of an update. Doesn't have to be a formal agenda item, but If it is, that would be great. Or a memo. Appreciate it. It seems like something that's developing and it's going to have a lot of impact. The third is the tree committee has completed the voting for the city tree, and the votes have been counted. There was 465 approximate votes, which is impressive. And
with anything else from staff, we are adjourned.
Yeah. Bye, Andrea. Bye, everybody.